And that was Charlie Puth and Done For Me. And I think there's all sorts of connotations from that track. Ange, done for me with the club, done for me, what have the players done for me? We're going to find out what you all think about the current situation at the club and what's flared up this week. It's the Sunday Sports Show.
Goal that took Stoke City back to Wembley for the first time in 20 years. Young Paul Ware crashing it home from a free kick.
Good evening, and as we are in the dying embers of 2019, and this indeed is our last show before the new year, we were hoping to wish you all a very happy Christmas with the three resounding points at Middlesbrough, but now I'm beginning to wonder if we're in the dying embers of Stoke as a Championship club, because quite frankly, that was awful. And when we scored the first goal, well, our only goal, I thought there's no way we're going to lose this because we were so much in control, it was unbelievable. But in true Stoke fashion, you could have written the script, how can we put it? They had not ever come from behind to win until they played us. And it could have quite frankly been more. Jack Butland, I felt, was at fault for one, if not both, the goals, but he did actually make a couple of outstanding saves, which, anyway, what's the difference? They had six or seven players out. I'm starting to feel my fury and ire rising already. The only thing I keep saying to myself is, we all know what the definition of madness is, going and expecting a different result. Well, when you go all the way to Middlesbrough and you get back at 1 o'clock in the morning and you're still seething, then you begin to wonder what is going to happen to us. A couple of things before we do start. I did say we'd do the 12 days of Christmas as a bit of a laugh, but we're not going to do it as a bit of a laugh now, because we were going to stop it altogether, if I'm being honest, but one or two people have gone to great lengths to do their 12 days of Christmas, and we should really rename them the 12 miserable and bitter days of Christmas, but we will be reading them out at some point, and I might even break into song at some point later. But enough from me for a short time. Now we're going to speak to the ever positive Russell.
You did well to get back from Middlesbrough at 1 o'clock, Ange.
Yeah, we sort of didn't dilly-dally on the way back.
Oh, right, okay. You better not tell the authorities.
I wasn't driving, so
Okay, blame whoever it was. Wasn't Tony Scholes driving, yeah, was it?
No.
Oh, well, because I was going to say you would be driving at 100 if that was the case.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had a good night on Friday, Ange. I was at Keele Hall. So that was, but that didn't stop us finding out what was going on, of course.
I can imagine.
So, you know, there was cheers in the venue when Sam Clucas scored. So obviously people were more concentrating on the phones than what was going on, merriment with their colleagues. I'd have to say, one of my colleagues said to me on Friday after we scored, watch us lose this now. And I'm afraid that is the attitude of the fans at the moment, and I think we did something incredibly similar to that at Birmingham earlier on in the season, Ange,
There's just so many games that
But Birmingham was another game what we looked completely, you know, not in complete control of, but it was a 0-0 nailed on, or a 0-1 nailed on. We go in front with Liam Lindsay, and then we managed to give him two goals and lose the game. Same again. I mean, I have to say, Ange, both the goals were, well, absolutely horrendous from a defensive point of view. I mean, to get beaten by a simple ball over your head like that is just horrendous for the first goal. And the second goal, I mean, people have pointed this out at home. I mean, I'm not taking credit for this, but I mean, there's so many things you can criticise about the second goal. It's frightening. The effort,
you don't even need to go past Cousins for me.
Well, the effort to track back, just the basic. I mean, I don't want to pick on Lindsay because he's had enough stick as it is, but I mean, that's basic, Ange. That, you know, if you've got to look around you, Ange, and see, well, hang on, I've got nobody who's going to come out and block this if I don't make the decision to go out and at least attempt to put some pressure on the shot. And he just keeps backing off, just inviting the lad to have a dig. You know, it's really is unbelievable. I mean, that is shocking. And I don't know what was going through his head at all, because I mean, he must have noticed where he was on the pitch. I mean, he didn't think he was about 35 yards from goal or something, surely. So I mean, you've got to go and make some effort at this. I mean, the lad was like, it's like practice that was, and it's like training. I mean, it was frightening. Anyway, but like I say, I mean, the top and bottom of it is, we're in a desperate situation, and we're now having to. I can't believe I'm saying this, but we're now having to look at the results of Luton, Barnsley and Wigan every week.
And Wigan will play tomorrow and probably do well and we'll be bottom.
Every week for the rest of the season.
The one thing I can't get my head round is, as bad as we are, we're still only 2 points away from
being
safe.
Yes, that's right.
And I did say to the people I was with, when we scored the goal, take a screenshot of that now, because we were 20th at that particular time, because I got it up on my phone, because we might not see that again this season. The one thing I don't want this show to descend into tonight, Russ, and I'm sure you feel the same, is getting miserable and panning and caning people and saying it's all because of you, it's all because of those. We all know we don't want the current squad. I suspect most of the current squad don't want us either. But if it becomes an evening of insults, name-calling and just calling people out, I will actually be leaving the whole show to you, because I've seen something today that might seem amusing on the surface. But as a lifelong Stoke fan, and my life's been a bit longer than maybe a lot of people listening tonight, I never thought I would see the day when somebody, as a joke, put our football team up for sale on eBay. It may seem funny, but the ramifications of that are not funny. That means that we're now a laughingstock throughout football and throughout the world. And whilst I see the funny side of it, I'm not a big fan of our football club being thrown to the wolves to laugh at. And those players, they won't care tuppence. I don't think they'll care a tuppenny piece. I don't think
tuppence.
They even know what eBay is, because they don't do decent deals, do they? and once they've long gone, that will still be resurfacing in the future. So, funny as it might be, I've lost my humour. Dave Palin from Australia says, thoughts. Up until we scored, we looked in control. It wasn't the most exciting game, but like I said last week, I want points more than entertainment at the moment. The players looked to move the ball quicker. They got the ball in the box, but the quality wasn't there first half. When we got the ball, I thought there could be only one winner. The last 30 minutes were a mess. I think the biggest problem O'Neill has is all the bench is very similar with positions that they play. Ince and McLean look spent. We've no one really to take some pressure off them. When the game needs some energy, you normally look to change the wide players, and we can't do that. When Ward and McLean were forced to play, we had Powell wide. We need some pace and energy in January. It's clear players are getting shipped out, but to be honest, the squad needs life injecting into it by cutting the dead wood and bringing in some wide players. My line-up for the match against Sheffield Wednesday. Davis, Smith, Bart, Lindsay, Ward, Allen, Klukas, Juve, Powell, McLean and Gregory. So if you'd already like to start sending in your teams for the game against Sheffield Wednesday, I'll read that one out again. Davis, Smith, Bart, Lindsay, Ward, Allen, Klukas, Juve, Powell, McLean, Gregory. And indeed, for some of those players, with any luck, it'll be their last time I ever see them in a Stoke shirt.
I'm surprised Dave thinks one up's working, Ange. Being a regular watcher.
I'm not commenting on being a one up, because I don't think we could. I mean, to me, it seems very obvious that three lone players are going to disappear. At least three players are going to disappear. If those disappear, we'll probably replace them with loans. Getting players out permanently, I just dread to think. You look at the tables of how much money we've spent.
I know.
It's just frightening. And Billy Big Whatevers has put on Twitter, whatever, just whatever. And if you wonder what I'm talking about, it's the last name, part of his name on it reflects on how he feels at the moment.
Barnes, I'm trying to laugh.
Barn SCFC1 says, I'm fed up with the team. I can't take any more disappointments, so I'm not going again. I'll miss the banter with the lads, the pre-drinks, etc., but I can't watch his play awful and give up. And KU Stokey from America says, hi, Ange and Ross. Nothing to say about yesterday's performance, which speaks for itself. So I just wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Isn't that nice?
And in case we forget to do that later on, because we'll be so embroiled in bitterness, thank you, and the same to you. Jeb Stewart says, I went on Friday, the first game since September, as watching another game in the area on Saturday. Well, in a half-empty sterile stadium, I should have stayed in the pub in town, would have been better value for my money. Both teams were, to sum it up, poor. Stoke looked like a frightened kitten staring into the abyss. Did they really want to be there? I think the answer was no. Not doing this slam the team and the performance, it looks as though it could go much deeper than that. Good to see the brilliant diehards in attendance and have a catch-up. Good luck, but you need a miracle to turn that oil tank around. I think I agree with you.
Yeah, well, I did come up with something positive.
Yeah. We're halfway through the season.
No, not that I missed it. No.
Okay.
We need two players. I think. I don't know whether you agree with this, Ange, but I think that without the signings of Matthew Etherington and James Beattie, in the first season we were in the Premier League, we probably would have gone down. I think probably is the right word, not definitely, but probably. So I'm not expecting, obviously, we can't sign two players of the calibre of Matthew Etherington and James Beattie in this transfer window. I'm almost certain about that. But the two players that we do sign, if we do sign two players after all the talk about FFP and everything like that, have to have the same impact at a lower level that those two players actually did for the football club. One injected a lot of pace and a lot of endeavour, and the other player knew where the back of the net was.
Well, I'm going to stop you right there.
Why?
I know you're deluded.
Why?
But there are two things that make me well wonder how sane you are. Who is going to want to come to this football club other than...
I don't think you've just listened to a word I've said.
Yeah, you've just said at a lower level. Who at whatever level?
Yeah.
Other than non-league...
I've just said...
And listen, hear me out. I've listened to you.
Yeah, I don't think you did.
I did. Okay. Who is going to want to come and play for us that can fulfil the fast-moving pace of Etherington, that can score goals in the Championship when they are obviously going to be either out of favour at another club, coming back from injury, or just not being selected? And then you look at where we are and people putting the team on eBay, booing them off the pitch, which they deserve.
Quite rightly, yeah.
Who is going to want to come?
Well, I don't know, Ange, but that's what we've got to do.
Right, well, now you've asked the question, answer it.
And that's what we've got to do.
Who's going to come?
Well, or otherwise, that's a good question, Ange.
Thank you.
That's
a good question.
Well, it's not my job to answer. I'm not paid over £1 million to answer that one.
I don't think anybody's paid over £1 million.
Well, who isn't?
I think nobody has paid over £1 million.
What, so?
I don't think any of the people that are to buy the players or get the players are paid over £1 million.
The manager might be.
Mm-hmm. Is he paid to get the players?
I don't know.
He's paid to manage the
players. Hopefully he knows some players.
And he quite rightly says, in his opinion, that it's not his job to make the players feel up for the game. Not quite sure what his job is at the moment, but still. Anyway, you better get on with it.
No, he was quite abrupt with that answer, wasn't he?
I think he's fed up. I think he's every right.
No,
to
but the point I'm making is, about those two players, if you can just be serious for a minute, is that if we are only going to be able to sign a couple of players, maybe, those two players have got to have the same impact. That's why I didn't think you were listening. Mm-hmm. They've got to have the same impact as Etherington and Beattie. Otherwise, we're in big trouble.
And I'll ask you a question again. Out of all the leagues, even the Scottish Premier League, the Premier League, the Championship, name me the players that you think might come to Stoke City. Firstly, our priority will be a left back. It won't be a striker. Secondly, then we will look at wingers. Maybe Valinden will come back, and we're then going to rely on a lad who went to Bolton, who cut the mustard for maybe 30 minutes each half at Stoke, and I'm not saying that's wrong. And then we're looking for a goal scorer, which I think we've been looking for since the days of Peter Crouch, and successful we have not been in finding one of those. The difference, of course, the sweetener now is we're at the bottom of the Championship, so they're all going to rush to join us. It's rubbish. They will not rush to join us. Get these ideas out of your head.
Well, I'll ask the fans at home. Shall we ask them?
You ask them.
Would you like to name a couple of players who we could realistically sign in this January transfer window to change our fortunes?
Don't say Ricardo Fulham.
Well, I tell you what, the way he's playing for wherever. Is he playing for Stoke now, Dutch?
I believe so.
Yeah. Anyway, Tom Hall on Twitter says, it's a long opening post for tonight's show, he says. Friday was the final straw, he says. It's time for Mr. Coates to sell up and clear off and take the entire first 11, Scholes and O'Neill, with him. They're absolutely clueless, every single one. It wasn't the defeat that has knocked all hope out of the fans, it was the manner of it.
Yeah, I agree.
Cousins should never play for Stoke again, as he couldn't be bothered to track a runner and let him have a free 30-yard run by himself. We've supported the club for long enough. It's time to turn on the players and Scholes and O'Neill for his pathetic team selections and make our feelings heard on Boxing Day. Supporting these overpaid players has done us no favours. Half-baked efforts on 40k a week is a disgrace. By gum, I've had to do some paraphrasing there. Anyway, live.
Can I just ask Tom, if you're listening, were you one of the supporters that applauded Charlie Adam at the last home match? Because I just find it incomprehensible that the same people who applauded a man who was part of the squad that got us relegated and probably had three or four very meaningful points in that time, missing penalties, which anybody can do, getting sent off, which anybody can do, and then he gets a standing ovation. And I'm thinking that quite a few of those people that gave him a standing ovation will be the same sort of people that start the Scholes out, you're not fit to wear the shirt, etc. Well, if you went to Middlesbrough, right, it wasn't as bad play-wise in terms of trying to pass the ball than it was when we played Reading at home. My suggestion would be that if you, from the minute one, are on the back of players who are underperforming anyway, all they will do is get rid of the ball and lump it up front as fast as they can to either a dwarf or a man who cannot jump. Now, I'm perhaps losing it a little bit here, but I would suggest that we save all our angst and ire until the end of the match and then go for it.
That's a vain hope.
But do you not agree? All they'll try to do is lump the ball up the pitch.
I think the fans have had patience of Saints, to be honest. I mean, how many years now have we been doing this show where it's been the same story? So, you know, it's been...
I can't condone people going into a match at the start.
And
if you do actually think that all these hashtag Scholes out are going to have the slightest impact on the Coates family, I think you're mistaken. And somebody, I think it was Tom also, who said, sell up. There ain't a queue on the A34 or the D Road or the A500 waiting to buy Stoke City. So I would prefer to stay with somebody that is picking up the debts at the moment than have us out in the wilderness. I'm sure it'll happen soon, but you've got to be realistic. And the other thing that I find really difficult, as much as I hate the way we're playing, and I really dislike the attitude of some of our squad members, I just can't begin to imagine how I would feel if that was my money that had been deposited up the wall by people. And for the results we've got, we're at the top 25
global spenders.
For spending in football. And people say the family should sell up. Honestly, I think if they weren't, and I'm not fans, if they were dyed, if they weren't dyed in the wool Stoke fans, don't you think they'd have gone by now?
Mm.
Would you continue to put money in a furnace and burn it?
No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. But I'll tell you what I would have done, Ange. I'd have had a lot more hands-on influence than
that. And that is what you can blame them for.
Yeah, if it had been my money, Ange, I'd have had a lot more hands on it. I'm not saying I'd have dictated particularly who they bought, but I think I'd have made my views clear on some of these things.
Well, the last thing I will say on the Coates family tonight is that the biggest mistake, in my opinion, they have made is not to surround themselves with knowledgeable football people who would run the club for them. They will not employ people at Bet365 who do not know what they're doing from top to bottom. But it would appear at Stoke City Football Club, they've used a lot of trust in people that, quite frankly, have either betrayed that trust or should never have had that trust in the first place. And what on earth makes anybody think that their recruitment at Stoke, be it on and off the pitch, will dramatically change without a change in policy? I have no idea.
Well, I agree. Totally agree with that, Ange.
Anyway, I'm having a rest now.
No, you're right. Like I say, the one thing you can really criticise them for is not having more of a say on the way the club is run instead of just offloading it to other people, because that's gonna bite them on the bottom now, I think. And you know, they really should have had proper advice in there, and everyone, and I said this on Twitter, I think, the other day, didn't I, Ange? Everyone who's been involved, and I don't care how little or big they've been involved in advising them on signings or anything like that, shouldn't have any involvement again in anything to do with the football club at all.
No.
None of them.
No.
None of them. I mean, to think that our club, I think £176 million, I think, our club has spent over a certain period compared to all the other championship clubs. I mean, that table that was released, I think, and I think the next best, I think, was about £50 million, Ange, in that table. And we've spent £176 million during the same period.
I know.
And we're third from bottom, or second from bottom.
Well, you have to say we're consistent.
Well, and what Anthony Bradshaw said to me earlier on today was, we haven't been out of the bottom three all season.
We haven't. That's why I
quite
said
quite incredible.
That's why I said take a picture of
so,
that.
So, I mean, we had last year, we were sitting here in disbelief when we were saying we can't possibly go through an entire season not scoring three goals. And do you remember these conversations?
Yeah, but we have scored.
Can we go through and possibly go through an entire championship season with not getting out of the bottom three? Is there? I mean, this is why you can imagine why people are frustrated. I know what you're saying.
I'm frustrated. You can tell I'm frustrated.
I know.
But for God's sake,
How do they express their views, Ange?
Well, I'll put it like this, right? If, and I'm not saying it won't happen, because I know it will, because you get very emotional as a football supporter, which is quite clearly shown in my voice tonight. But if your sole objective is to go into that stadium on Boxing Day, when you've probably had a few, right?
Mm.
Just to boo those players, how can you expect them to perform? And let's be honest,
I don't know, because they're not used to them performing anyway.
And let's be honest, if we score, those same people will be up cheering and running around with their mates.
Mm.
I just think it's best left to the end of the match, or until we're so far behind we can't possibly salvage it.
Well, anyway, I've got loads to catch up on here. So, Tom Hall, we haven't done any polls tonight or anything, because we just think it's just, we knew what it would turn into tonight, so we haven't bothered to do any of that stuff. So Tom Hall says, Ange, no, I didn't clap Charlie Adam. I found it embarrassing for people that did to give him a standing ovation. I can't believe you still think the Coates family is still up for the task when they're giving Scholes a pay rise over the last few years.
Right, Tom, show me the evidence that Tony Scholes has had a pay rise. Anybody who can show me the evidence where it says Tony Scholes has had a pay rise, and I will walk on my hands and knees to the Bet365, because I haven't seen one shred of evidence that Tony Scholes has been given a pay rise over the last few years. All you've seen is figures which I could put in a piece of paper. And if you look at the accounts, I am sure that the Scholes family are not that daft.
Coates family.
Listen, if he's got a pay rise, he should be selling snow to Eskimos.
I thought there was a, wasn't the figure, where's the figure of 175,000 come from then?
What? How does that have to be a pay rise? That can be a multitude of things.
I don't know what context it's
coming. This is what gets me. It could be a multitude of things. And you can put this online if you want. My intention is to speak to the aforementioned Tony Scholes tomorrow and ask him for a direct answer on that question.
Okay.
Because I simply cannot believe the Coates family will reward failure.
Okay.
And that, in effect, is what everybody's saying they're doing.
Well, on that very point, Ashley Littler says, listening is normal. Just wanted to show my support publicly to Ange and the supporters for their work. There's nobody else who asks the questions she or they do. We should all get behind it and give it some more teeth. I think he's on about the council.
Thank you,
my suggestion would be, he says, if we want a player out, we let them and the club know on Boxing Day. It might help. Similar happened with a Phoebe. For what it's worth, I agree with the absurdity of swooning over Adam. And Tom's done the link on the Stoke Sentinel article about the Scholes pay rise. And says,
Tom, I read the article. It is completely the Sentinel's interpretation of those results. And I find it quite offensive that anybody should be led to believe that that is a pay rise. There could be a million and one reasons that that money has gone up. And I will lay my life savings on the fact that the Coates family have not given him a pay rise.
Okay. Well, I'm sure Angela will let us know tomorrow. Here we go. Biggest net transfer spend this decade. Global, this is. Stoke City in 22nd place, Ange, on £191 million.
Leicester, 186.
I said this, didn't I? And Leicester in third place, I think, in the Premier
Shanghai
League.
And Shanghai SIPG, £175 million, and that's all on his wages.
And there you go.
Anyway, enough of the Scholes from me. I don't believe it, and that's all I'm saying. And I don't always believe what's in the Sentinel.
Well, there you go, and that's quite a remarkable stat there, as I'm going to leave on there for a minute.
KU anyway, Stokey says, cardboard cut out of Sir Stanwood put in more crosses than Ince. Yeah, well, I think you can expect him to play because for some reason Michael O'Neill likes him. Crouch Potato 1, evening to you both and happy Christmas. For 58 minutes on Friday night, I never ever felt we'd lose that game. But as per usual, a goal goes in against us and we just collapse again. This team just doesn't have the character to compete in the Championship at the moment, and the sooner it's ripped apart, the better. Couldn't agree more. Ange, I'm amazed that you just said Butland was for one goal at fault and maybe two. Yes, the first one, he may have got a stronger hand on it. He should never be beaten like that with a header across you. But on the second one, he had absolutely no chance, in my opinion. Okay, well, I beg to differ, but I go with what you say. Thank you. Cousins and Lindsay were woeful for the second game, and the space wing had was unbelievable. On to the next three games. I can't see many points coming our way, but maybe these wasters we have might raise their game against better opposition. I think that's optimistic. I fear if we have bad results in these next three games, then the Millwall game, when Rowett turns, maybe the returns, maybe the straw that breaks the camel's back for the fans. I wouldn't disagree with you. Tom, I'm sorry if I'm having a go at you. I don't mean to.
4 points outside the playoffs when we sacked Rowett, by the way.
Yeah.
Take that in.
Yeah.
I think I'm with Crouch Potato on that second goal.
Okay, fine.
But I'm just doing it from a.
How long do you think it's going to take me to get to the ground on my hands and knees? Because Tom insists I'm going to be going there. Tom, I'll have a deal with you. If I don't go, you're going.
Well, he might. Do you know, knowing Tony, he might just give the answer. He might just tell you he's had a pay rise for making you do it.
Yeah, he probably would. Yeah, knowing him,
cantankerous
person. The last thing I will say is, to me, it's incomprehensible that the owners will reward failure. They haven't rewarded the players with failure. It is reported that the win bonuses have stopped for some players. Mm. So why on earth would you reward the CEO? Mm. And all the links in the world to that article do not say it is a pay rise. There could be a million reasons for that. You've done accounts.
Yes, I know. Ask him that question as well, though. Ask him whether it's true he's docked all the...
It's ever so good of you to write my script, you know. Ask him that as well.
Well, that's all right. Well, you've got access to him. George Harding says, Michael O'Neill out.
Ange. Oh, God.
Leaves our best two players out in Badu and Atibo and expects fans to stick with him. He says he's another con man who will send this club down and come away with a massive payout. Hogan should also be starting. Well, on the base of what Ange just said there, probably last you've seen of him. Or maybe.
Could start tomorrow?
Yeah, well, it might be the last you see of tomorrow.
Am well, I missing something? My life is just so...
Are we Christmas Day? Are we doing the show on Christmas Day?
Well, why not? Not tomorrow, though.
Hogan should be starting in a 4-4-2.
You've got me all riled up now.
But oh no, Mr. O'Neill, why about crawling on your hands and knees?
Yeah. If he says that,
we've got to enter some humour in this show, yeah. For Christ's sake.
Yeah.
No, Mr. O'Neill says we need to be defensive and play 4-5-1. I can't deal with this 4-5-1, Ange. I'm sorry, I can't. And I don't. I'll have a rant if you want about this. I think he's doing himself no favours whatsoever with this. 4-5-1, Ange. I really do. And Vokes on before Jiff and Hogan, he says. Duncan Ridgway says, and I think he sums up a lot of people's views, sacked a lot of them, he says. Jules says, nice to see you guys. That's nice, isn't it? That's a bit more pleasant.
Talking of that sweater.
Oh, yes, the sweater.
I took the sweater to Middlesbrough. Yes. I walked out at the end of the match, probably wanting to use it to throttle somebody.
Yes.
I looked for Ted and Jules, they weren't there.
He was probably going autograph of somebody.
No, I don't think so. I think he'd long gone.
Had he long gone? I don't know how he got there. Did he go on the coach?
I don't know what he went on.
Steve Morris says, sell the lot and get rid of Scholes.
No problem with that at all. And I don't think the club will be any better until this... root and branch review involves exterminating everybody in the current squad and a lot of the backroom stuff.
Ashley Littler says, the Sentinel, the closest thing the club have to a press team, so it might not be too far from the true truth.
I would disagree completely, Ashley. I think the Sentinel are almost the publicity vehicle for Port Vale, given that the editor loves the Vale. And the only thing you'll find about Stoke in the Sentinel, and I hope Pete Smith and Martin Spinks are listening, is everything that can be derogatory about Stoke City Football Club at this moment in time. That's not too hard, obviously, because we're not playing very well. But I don't agree with you, Ashley, on that one. Sorry.
Do you need a handkerchief to pat your brow?
No, I don't. Okay. I told you I was ready for this.
You were ready. Alan Swindle says, evening to you. Well, listen, after I've been on the motorway all afternoon, though, need this in me ear. Alan Swindle says, evening to you both. It's the only decent thing about Stoke in the moment, this show.
Well, it's finishing if we go down. I can't cope with Division 1, neither can you.
Andy Poynton says, happy Christmas, Russ and Ange. Thank you. Melanie says, sellers. She says, so that's, there you go. Bill McGraw says, happy Christmas, Russ and Ange. Gareth Mate says, good evening from the Netherlands. Merry Christmas to you both. Dave Wayne says, evening, Russ and Ange. Merry Christmas to our long-suffering fans, says Philip Pinches. Scott Price says, Merry Xmas, Russ and Ange. Bottom three at Christmas, it's not looking good. That's an understatement, isn't it?
How many teams have got out of the bottom three after Christmas and stayed up?
How many teams have had three other teams in the bottom four who are worse than them? I think these are the worst teams in the bottom three I've seen. We've seen them all now, haven't we? Melanie says we're down. Not true yet, Melanie. Stuart Nicholas says Merry Xmas. George Harding says we wouldn't have been in this situation with Lambert. Fact.
No, probably not.
Sarah, I don't know whether he's being sarcastic or not, you know. Sarah Bay says, good evening both. We need to clear out this entire first team, or so it feels. We are terrible. Sue says, hoping this show will cheer me up. Merry Christmas. How's it going so far, Sue? I'll see you post later when I get down to it. George Harding says, we also wouldn't have been in this situation under Rowett, fact.
No.
I think I agree with that, to be honest. Ted, I think we just presumed that we would be right up there right from the start. And to be fair, when you look at it under Gary Rowett, 4 points off the playoffs when we sacked him now looks an utterly ridiculous decision. When you look at it now, whatever he said in the media, he'll regret it, I'm sure, himself, what he said, because he probably should still be manager and we'd probably be doing better than we are. I'm pretty sure we would be. Ted says, Middlesbrough under 23s had more cojones than us. That was awful on Monday night, by the way, Ange, how we lost that game.
It was dreadful. Well, apparently Sky said we just down tools when they scored the second goal. Obviously, I was there, so I didn't.
Well, there we go. And Nigel Adderley said something about it as well on there, about our overpaid players or something like that, with no effort or commitment. Something, you know, the BBC guy, Nigel Adderley. Mm.
But before you go on to that, I would like to ask a question now I've calmed down. And again, apologies, Tom, because I'll get you some knee pads for when you do the walk or the crawl. If everybody listening tonight, how difficult must it be? And I know he's supposedly on 1. Whatever million. Take the money aside. How difficult must it be to pick a team from a squad of players who it is quite clear he doesn't rate? How hard is it to try and go in every day with those people who I don't think more of 4 or 5 of them would be in the squad to try and get a team that are going to work for you? Mm. More importantly, most of those players will know that he doesn't rate them, and most of those players want away anyway. Luke, so how can you be positive?
This guy's managed Northern Ireland, okay, so he doesn't have to listen to me, does he? But I would say very strongly to him that he ain't going to get out of this situation 1-0 in games. I've said this. How many times have I said this? Even in the short tenure he's got, he's not going to get out of this situation 1-0 in wins. No. And scraping wins. If his forwards aren't good enough, and I'll repeat the point I did when we went down in the Premier League, we have to play 2 up front because they're not good enough to create the chances on their own. They have to have somebody up there with him who can cause a bit of mayhem, maybe. And he keeps moaning. I'll tell you something else I'm not happy about with him. He keeps moaning about the fact that he's only got 2 wingers, but he keeps playing them, and he keeps playing the same system, Ange.
Well, I do actually think the system's better than the ridiculous diamond we played.
Well, I know that, but he keeps moaning about the lads being, you know, exhausted, Ince and McLean, because they're having to do so much work, which is fair. I'm not disputing the comments he's making. I'll change it then and give one of maybe have one of them playing every game, but change the system to have 1 winger, Ange. Yeah. And then you can let one of them have a rest for a game and maybe bring him on in the last 10 minutes or something and swap it over until then. It's too late now because we're almost in the window.
But before we go back onto that, I said to you in a couple of shows that the problem that we have when we have these 3 games in 8 days is our players aren't fit enough.
Well, I'll tell you something. Right. Can I just say this, though, Ange? Yeah. Another thing is, we all know Manjeef can play the right side of the attack if necessary.
I think Manjeef will play on.
But we all know he can do it.
Yeah.
So don't moan about people being tired. Manjeef can do it. So we all know he can do it. And I just wonder whether or not he's being a bit stubborn. I don't know why, because he thinks he's going to go anyway, Ange. Do you know what I mean? He thinks he's going to go in January. Anyway.
Before you go back to that, and me and Tom all having this backwards and forwards debate, I said about the 3 games in 8 days, right?
Yeah.
When we played at Middlesbrough, once Tavernier came, Gusted came on, right? They lumped balls up, we couldn't cope. We were like dazzled rabbits, etc. But we also were leggy, right? We have got a game on Thursday, Sunday. You know what Christmas fixtures are like. Mm. I just think he has to change it.
And we've got 30 players.
Yeah.
So we should be better prepared for it than anyone.
Well, we got one that's not going to come back from Turkey to play for us.
Yes, I know, but we've got 30 players, and this excuse done a wash. You can't. I mean, you say that, then I go and ask Luton. I bet they make 1 or 2 changes in 3 matches because they haven't got anybody else put in. You know, the excuses, we can't make any excuses for them anymore, can we? We just can't. And that's why people are getting even more and more frustrated about what they think about the club.
Anyway, you must catch up.
Paul Sutton says, we played well at Bury, but when we go forward, the defence is so slow, it doesn't cross the halfway line, meaning teams have all the room in the world to break on us, and our centre-halves are slow. But our full-backs are no faster than my 3-legged cat, says Paul Sutton.
Paul,
I'd like to believe you've got a 3-legged cat. Send us a pic. Not that we're going to laugh at it, obviously. We wouldn't do that because we can't do that, can we, Ange? Tom Hall says, Ange, you're forgiven on the basis... This is somebody else who's trying to write your scripts now, Ange. On the basis that you ask O'Neill in the week, why are the best players are not being picked? Now that's a provocative question.
Tom,
in the first
you know
place.
I've already asked that, don't you?
Yeah, he does. He does.
But, I am going to ask about Etebo again, because obviously Ndiaye ain't going to come back from Turkey.
And he says the fans are getting extremely frustrated with the awful selections.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, Little has said something else too about Scholes' article.
Yeah, he has. I think the Scholes article suggests either a major breakdown at the club between the club and the press, or other people at the club are gunning for Tony Scholes. I have to say, Scott's quite right to mention this, and that was a clear-cut penalty on Klukas.
Oh, unbelievable. And he books Klukas.
Clicks Klukas for Derby.
Has that been rescinded yet?
Oh, I don't know, but it should have been. Tom Chadwick says, just nipping in like I do every week, to let you know how little I think of Tom Ince.
He is
absolute garbage. Thank you, Tom. David Matley says, big gamble giving the job to Michael O'Neill, and it isn't paying off. You'd think the bookies would know better. Here's Alan Finneran. I'll see you on Boxing Day, I hope, Alan. Embarrassing. I've never felt so low watching Stoke after 40 years. How can Bet365 make such a profit and the owners lose so much? What the club needs is Denise to run the club for a short period and sort it out. Liam Clarkson says, I think we need to relegate. Oh God
again.
And regroup in order to build again as a club. Too many players on big contracts. Yeah, but we still got to pay them, Liam, if they don't go. And not bothered about the club, and with fans' frustration, it all adds up to a toxic club. Benjamin Davies says, people saying O'Neill out are clueless. Jones was getting support off the majority after endless losses. O'Neill still needs our backing. He's working with the past manager's junk. January is now key. Well, you've heard from his own mouth how difficult he thinks January is going to be, or you will do. When I play that, and I will do as soon as I stop this. Michael Purcell says, Merry Christmas, Russ and Ange. Here's to 20 wins next year.
We need them.
Is that this season, or...
God above.
Or is that into the entire calendar year? Craig Eccleston says, Ange, would you bring Asaidi back?
No.
Ben Cliff, I think he'd rather go to Kidsgrove at the moment than come and watch Stoke. He'd rather go to Kidsgrove Athletic. I met Ben at the game the other week. Two of the worst games of football I've ever seen, one after the other. And it was so obvious that we were going to lose, even after we went one up. We always have a mistake in us, and as soon as they scored, there was only one winner. Only Klukas and McLean had an alright game against Middlesbrough. Chris Gallimore says, Happy Christmas to you both. Let's hope the Boxing Day game can bring us some cheer. Mick Fitzpatrick says, he's put the eBay link on, Ange. And says he thinks Mr. Scholes is the top bidder at the moment. Ted says, why was the ladies' game called off today, seeing they were playing on the all-weather pitch? Was it because first team were training? Well, my inside sources say that the opposition couldn't get a side. I think it's Jules probably messaging that, but I don't think Brighouse could get a team, is what I understand. But nothing untoward going on there. Ben Davies says, any reason why Scholes had the reported pay rise despite our loss in revenues over the last few seasons? Well, you've heard everything that's been said on that one.
Start shouting for Lee.
Who?
Lee Gold. Volume's very low.
Okay. Well, which I can't believe that for a minute, can you?
No, not the way you're shouting.
Melanie Stanway says, can you say there's any improvement with this manager? No, it's worse.
Oh, I don't agree. I think we'd have lost the game against Luton for one. There we go, anyway.
Well, he's had three wins, hasn't he?
Yeah.
How many games, Ange?
Eight.
Three out of eight. And one draw and four losses. Gary Pardy says, I went the other night to Middlesbrough. The first half, I thought they were there for the taking. Well, yeah. The stats seem to suggest that was the case anyway. Second half after scoring, I just had the feeling it wouldn't last. See, is this the negative mindset we've got into, though? You know, if it was a Stoke at home and it was a dour game like that, you'd say it's a classic 0-1, this.
Yeah.
That's what you'd say. And yeah. We're saying, well, when we score, you know, everybody's going to go second goal. Lo and behold, the parting of the waves. That second goal was dreadful. I agree with that, Gary. Shocking. Lee Gould says, Ange, anyone who watched the other night's show knows we are a laughing stock
already. Probably right, Lee.
Alan Finneran says January is so important, but he wants to buy the current players so we can buy good players. Well, apparently there are people interested in some of our players, if you believe the papers. What's caught your attention there, Anne?
George Harding, which you're going to paraphrase. I'll just say that we were going to do a nice, funny 12 Days of Christmas, but yeah. We have got several, so we are going to read them out. But one or two of them, we might have to change words. So over you go with George Harding.
Well, Georgie's gone for 12 absolute donkeys, 11 spineless invertebrates, 10 months of pain, 9 Butland errors, 8 season tickets wasted, 7 different scorers, 6 Clucas goals, 5 wins this season, that's clever, 4 different captains, 3 years of decline, 2 sack championship managers, 1 embarrassing Stoke City. Actually, I think so. Should have a round of applause.
I will read out a few more in a bit.
Jenny Cavani says, good evening from Bulgaria. It's 20 degrees today.
Lovely. Stay there.
I've never known Bulgaria be 20 degrees at this time of year. Surely not. I don't believe that. But I'm sure she's not lying, is she? Keep my mind a bit off Stoke today. Can it get any worse? Angie's nodding. There you go. Ash Malta skulls out and ins out. Ted says, me and Julie will never give up on our team. We are Stoke till we die. Mark Keegan says, when somebody starts with those three words, you know it's not going to be, they're not going to agree with you. Mark Keegan says, Ange, I respect what you're saying about players being up for sale and finding it funny. Don't you think that works both ways? Don't you think the fans feel like they're the ones being laughed at?
Mark, I'm now going to say with the greatest respect, I don't think the players care what we think. So whilst I appreciate what you say, I just don't think they care. The heart's been ripped out. The DNA that the capped one used to talk about, which he left, it's all gone. There is, what does Stoke stand for now? There used to be, even at the latter stages, until Mark Hughes really lost it in the last 9 months, nobody wanted to come to the Bet365. Now everybody wants to come to get 3 points. We have no identity. We have no direction. We have no chance unless somebody gets rid of every single player in that squad, and that is not going to happen in the next transfer window, which is why I say this is going to go on for 4, possibly 5 more years, and I hate to say it, but Russ will tell you that I predicted this was going to happen 3 years ago. If you do not move forward in any professional sport, if you even stand still, there is only one way you're going to go, and that's backwards. And we are now going even further backwards because of FFP and the most ridiculous amount of recruitment and waste of money. Why? Because we have not had the right people in the right places doing the right jobs, and we've had so many people on the gravy train that is Stoke City, and whether you like the Coates family or not, they've been paying for it. And I hope they now have the scales fall from their eyes and they start employing the right people to run what is their football club. The end.
No, I quite agree. And I'll tell you what else I agree with, Ange. Is that they've had 3 years to arrest the decline, and we haven't seen a single light at the end of the tunnel in that 3 year period.
No.
And as ridiculous as it sounds, the only manager who has sort of turned it round a little bit and got us somewhere competing was Gary Rowett.
Yeah.
And because if he said something about a Spaniard who's no longer with us anyway, he's now out of a job. And like I say,
he isn't out of a job, he managed.
Well, he's now out of our job.
Yeah.
But I bet he wishes he was still having his Stoke salary.
Possibly. And now we come on to Roger, who's a friend of mine. He says, if it's true what the Sentinel are reporting, that Stoke's chief executive earned £856,000 last year, this amount is obscene for the people of the Potteries and Stoke fans everywhere, particularly when you consider he's one of the guilty ones overseeing the utter humiliation of our club worldwide during the last 3 years. I describe it as rubbing the fans' noses in. If he had any decency, he would donate 800,000 of the 856,000 to local charities, starting with the Donna Louise. In fact, the salary of 56,000 is probably way too much, bearing in mind his sheer incompetence. This could be the straw that broke the camel's back, as I'm expecting massive outrage about the pen pusher. Thank you, Roger. I think Tom shares that view and a few others as well. Before you go on to the next one, Gareth, who you know very well, has gone with 12 men gone missing, 11 transfers needed, 10 butterfingers, 9 leaky team sheets, 8 minutes entertainment, 7 different formations, 6 years since Pulis, Bet365, 4, that's good, 4 acres of space, 3 round knockout, 2 places from bottom, and a single shot on target.
Could have said 4 ways of space. Well, yeah. that wouldn't have worked. And a single shot on target. Yeah. Not a single shot on target in the other game. Anyway, Lee Gould says we need Collins instead of Bart. Well, I don't know whether Lee, were you at Leek a week yesterday? We're both all in a state, aren't we? Last Monday when Stoke played, I can't even remember who they were playing. Was it Middlesbrough?
Wasn't it Barnsley?
Christ knows who it was. Anyway, a defence including Nathan Collins conceded 3 in a game where we were in total control and ended up losing it. That sounds familiar. And he didn't particularly inspire anything. Cambridge Stokey Ant says, which players do we think will go in the next transfer window?
That's one for everybody to answer.
And Tom Hall says, Ange and Russ, in your opinions, what's the solution to save this club before it's too late? Because O'Neill is picking the same old players week in, week out, and playing Vokes up top simply doesn't and will never, ever work. Well, in my opinion, he's got to go to 2 up, Tom, for one thing. We've got to start winning games of football by scoring more goals than the opposition, which sounds obvious, but I don't think we can actually... You know, we can actually prevent teams scoring at least 2 goals. We've got to get to a situation where we've got to score a lot of goals in a game of football to win it. And we're not going to do it with 1 up. That's my solution. But I don't think... I think we've just got to hope that we scrape enough results that'll put us higher than Wigan, Barnsley or Luton.
My solution, Tom, is what I've already said. They need to get rid of every single person that's in the squad, bar none, and start again, which is not going to happen over 1, 2 or 3 transfer windows. And I think there has to be a completely different culture change right from the CEO downwards. And whatever people think of my feelings for Tony Scholes, as a human being, he might be the nicest man on God's earth. As a CEO of the football club we all support, he is failing. And you do not reward failure. And I think if the club is going to go forward, then I think you cannot not look at him going too.
But he's on the board, isn't he?
Yeah.
So they're going to have to... It's not as complicated as just sacking somebody.
It's not as easy as just sacking somebody. You know more about that.
Anyway, Ben Cliff says, all I can say is I've never seen a player with less confidence than Tom Ince. The guy has multiple chances to take on a centre-back who is actually a central midfielder and get at him into the box. But he just brought it back for Smith, who fluffed his cross. This team has zero confidence whatsoever. I'll tell you something else about Tom Ince as well. Even if he doesn't trust his right foot at all, at some point during a game of football, he has to try and take on the left-back down his right-hand side, down with his right foot, and try and get to the byline. Because if I was playing against Tom Ince, I'd never even think he was ever going to do that.
No.
Would you?
No.
So, I mean, you know what he's going to do. You know he's going to stop and turn back onto his left foot. He's got to go. He's got to go and have a go at trying to get to the byline. Even if he fluffs his lines, he's got to do it. Because the left-back just... can read everything he's doing.
He did say that he is his own biggest critic when people criticise him. Well, I tell you what, he must have the most miserable life on God's earth because he'd be constantly criticising himself.
Do you know what the biggest worry is, though, Ange? He's the one who's been having the most likely efforts at goal for us in the recent past.
And Michael O'Neill seems to rate him.
Well, there you are. Lee Gould says, our back four is absolutely awful. We need 2 new full-backs and I'd get Suter back and play him and Collins.
I mean, Collins hasn't been playing because he was injured, although he was obviously back on the bench. And I think he'll probably play Collins and Shawcross when they're both fit.
Like lay money on that, would you?
I think he'll play Collins and Shawcross.
Melanie Stanway says, with Coates' money, we should have been the new Leicester. But we're becoming the new Lake Norient,
yep.
She says. Lee Gould says Scholes out. Liam Clarkson says we need a run of wins and a bit of luck.
Mm-hmm.
Lee Gould says Scholes out. Craig Eccleston says my team for the game on Boxing Day: Butland, and Smith, Collins, Bruno Martins, Indy. Will he be going in January, do you think, Ange?
I think anybody who gets an offer will go.
Left back Cameron McJanet. I think Cameron would like to be playing centre back more than left back, but
it's not going to happen.
Centre midfield, Clucas, Jarvis, not going to happen. Centre attacking midfield, Powell. Right wing, Edwards.
Oh my goodness me.
Striker, Duff. Left wing, Ngoy. Has he been on the source?
I don't know.
Wayne.
You just let people take that in. From the Seychelles. Now, we already had Jenny Cavani from Bulgaria saying it was 20 degrees. Adrian, who's not in the Seychelles at the moment, says
not
we all live in hope,
but
that hope fades. You start to break the habit of a lifetime. Even if we survive, I dread to think what the gates will be like next season. And that's very true, because if he's starting to break the habit of a lifetime, which is to come back to watch the matches, other people will do the same.
Well, I thought, everybody's entitled to their opinion, right? And I can't stand this from either point of view, what I'm going to say now. But when you have people like Martin Smith, for example, saying what he said on Twitter on Friday night when I was coming back home, when I was reading my phone, you know, seeing what people were saying, you've got worry, haven't you, as a football club? And people like that are saying that. These are diehard people who go everywhere with them. And his son's the same. Son's saying the same sort of things, Perry.
But you will say the same things.
You know, the one who's not really that bothered, you know, about coming to watch State, they're not going to come anywhere near, are they?
No.
So you're down to the bare bones.
Well, I'm going to add in another thing to the mix here. Where at the last council meeting, and I'm sure there are some council members listening tonight, I actually said to Tony Scholes, we're clearly hemorrhaging support at the moment. And he said, we're not hemorrhaging support. Well, I tell you what, we'll be hemorrhaging support now. And if it wasn't for Boxing Day, I don't think we'd have many people at the match. I think people will go because Boxing Day is an important day.
I saw somebody saying on Twitter that they're showing all the Championship games on Boxing Day and apart from ours.
Yeah,
now, why is that?
Because it's probably not entertainment.
Is there any reason for that?
I don't know. I didn't even know they weren't showing it.
Somebody said they're not showing ours, but that may be because they haven't put it on the system yet or something. But I'll bet people will stay at home and watch it, so they can have a pint
I think people will go because that's what you do on Boxing Day. From Jason in Japan, dear Ange and Ross, hope you're well. I wasn't able to watch the game on Friday due to the time difference, so I can't say too much. Well, you could. But I just want to wish you both a very Merry Christmas and Happy 2020. Hope it is for our football club as well. Thank you for great shows all year. Even after so many disappointing results, you still managed to make me smile. Keep it up. Best wishes to all Stokies, Jason. Well, we ain't smiling tonight, Jason, so I hope you're freezing.
Hope he enjoys his runs. I'm still trying, Jace, myself. Wayne Adams, if I got a pound for every time this has been said tonight, I'd be £20 better off already. Scholes out, says Wayne Adams. Liam Clarkson says we need a run of wins and some luck. We never got that run going and stalled at the first chance. Momentum is everything and we just haven't got it going. I don't know when the last time we did get momentum going, Ange. Two wins is the best we've done for, you know, in years is the best way of describing it. Two wins on the trot. Ben Cliff says, team for Sheffield Wednesday, Davis, and in from the cold. Edwards, Barth, Collins, Bruno, Alan Woods, Clucas. Woods is back as far as Ben's concerned. Duff, Gregory, McLean. He'll be another one who might be off in January, I should think. But I'd be tempted just to play the under-23s. At least they have more fight. Hey, Ben, you didn't see him last week, last Monday.
Rod says the end is nigh.
Oh dear. Liam Clarkson says money talks. Chris Gallimore says totally agree. Collins and Suter will be the best partnership at the back if we do drop down. Well, I'm not sure Nathan Collins would be with us if we went down another level, but there you go. Ben Davies says we're a couple of wins away from being out. If we were adrift at the bottom with only two other teams, fair enough, but there's easily six or seven teams still in that area. We are only halfway, and not at the end of the season. Until its mathematical support is needed as hard a times as it is. That I could have transposed that comment into the season we got relegated from the Premier League, and just exactly the same point.
Same point.
George Harding is not a fan of Michael O'Neill.
No, you can see that.
I can tell that. I'm not going to read it out. Ben Cliff says, and in dispute he isn't, no manager could turn this shower around. Warren Backhouse says, get Verlinden and Suter back. Throw them into this team. Can you imagine? George Harding says, Scholes has had a pay rise, he thinks, in his opinion. In between this mess makes you feel sick that people are getting rewarded for disaster. Gary Pardy says, answer to who would come to Stoke, first of all, get Verlinden back. Craig Eccleston says, throws in a name called Aaron Hickey from Hearts. Glenn Whelan, is Glenn Whelan still there?
I don't know, I think so.
Liam Clarkson says, you can sign any player with money.
Yeah, but then they also have to be motivated, and that the only motivation is coming for money. So look where we've got so far with that.
Alan Finneran's game with the Sentinel headline, 125k
more.
Alan,
I will say this again, and I'll say it till I'm blue in the face and until I get an answer. Can you honestly see the Coates family giving somebody a pay rise, knowing how careful they are with their cash, for presiding over failure? There are many ways that that money could have been accrued, and any accountant can tell you that it's not just a pay rise that can get more money. And I will be asking him tomorrow if he will take my call, and if he won't take my call, I will be sending him a personal email, and then he has a choice. He either tells me it's none of my business, but as me personally, this is not me doing it through the Supporters Council, this is me personally asking him, because so many people are asking me what I think about it, and I can't give an informed opinion until I know if it's true or not. And me sitting here now would be flabbergasted if the Coates family had paid somebody to preside over 4 years of utter disaster with a pay increase.
Liam Clarkson says, I also believe the Gale failure to purchase was a massive loss, FFP or not. We should have sold some players to allow that purchase. Ted says he agrees with Andrew. Jules says, I agree with Andrew, would come here. Well, that's rather worrying. Gareth Mate says, Roy of the Rovers is available. Alan Swindle says, we haven't got any FFP.
Have we not?
Well, it doesn't kick in yet, does it? I think that's what he means.
At the end of next season.
I think that's what he means.
Do you want to go into the next season knowing you're going to get a 10 to 12 point penalty?
Not really. Ash Mould says, you won't find an out-and-out striker who will succeed one up top week in, week out. You just won't find one. No. I totally agree with that.
I think you could have Messi and Ronaldo in there for
That's one. Another question for you, Ange.
Thank you so much.
The fans are fed up with one up, Michael. Yeah. What are you going to do about it?
Thanks for that, Russell.
Okay, there's another one.
Thank you, so kind.
I hope you're writing all these down.
I'm not writing them down because I want to be hear asking them.
You will.
Go and ask him yourself.
No. You do it. Your job. You're the head interviewer.
Just get on with it.
George Harding says, I've seen Sergio Aguero at Fenton KFC buying his bargain bucket before he signs on the dotted line for the bottom of the league Potters. There we go. Melanie Stanway says, a lad at Swindon is scoring for fun. Who's that lad at Swindon? Philip Pinto, this is how far we are behind with Facebook, Ange. These are the comments in relation to who should we sign. You've now got Fred Carno and Ronald McDonald. Craig Eccleston has a go at doing it sensibly. He goes for Aaron Hickey, Rian Brewster, and bring in Verlinden, Asaidi, Daniel Amati, and Thompson.
I think Daniel Amati would be brilliant, but can you see him coming here? Because the minute people know he's up for grabs, who's he going to pick, Stoke or somebody better? Let me think about that.
And Martin Farmer has gone, where's this come from, Ange? Where have I missed this? How about the return of Usama
Asaidi? He's free now. He's also older. Free, and nobody wants him. I mean, he left us and went to an Arab country, didn't he?
Yeah. So how long is it going to take him to get up to speed? You know.
Well, he's quite fast.
Dave Beach says, well said, Angela. Great show tonight. Tell it as it is. Keep up the great work. And Roger Barnett says, let's play with five at the back, three in midfield, and two up front.
Yeah, that'd be good. But we end up going into a flat back 10, don't we, when somebody attacks us?
Chris Gallimore says, get a few of them Liverpool youngsters in on loan. They looked the real deal the other night. And John Stoddard says, putting the team on eBay sums up how pathetic many of our so-called fans are. We have been awful, but it's still our team. Watching at Bury was level with the penalty appeal, and I thought it was a penalty. I agree with you, John. It certainly was, in my opinion. Don't agree with the majority of players aren't trying. It's obvious a couple aren't, though. Think that they as a team are just not good enough. Powell never broke sweat and I won't comment on Ince. Gregory needs somebody with him. I think, well, we agree with that, don't we?
Yeah, and I think one of the things we perhaps don't take into account is that when you're not good enough, it can look like you're not trying because you're simply outclassed. But to be outclassed by six under-23 players from a club that had gone behind and still had the character to come back and have a go at us, then you should really be questioning why you're in football. Well, yeah, we know why you're in football, for the money.
And a lot of them are international footballers playing for us.
Yeah.
Carl Vegas Ash says, what about the fans who wanted Gary Rowett out when we were 4 points off the playoffs?
Well, we can't answer that, can we?
Lee Gill says, Ange, Bath and Lindsay just lump it anyway, so it wouldn't make any difference.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody else will start lumping it.
Ben Cleff says, Sam Cosgrave would come from Aberdeen. You know quite a lot about Aberdeen,
don't
you?
I don't think he will.
There you go, there's your answer.
But I just don't think he will. I think he'll get a better offer.
No matter what mess we're in, a player would come to us over playing in the Scottish League. Well, there's your answer, you've just added. Left back I'd get, Martin Olsen, he says. He's a free transfer and he's experienced in the position too.
And he's been linked with us before.
He has. Was he with that when he was with Norwich, was it? But I'd like to see a Marty in from Leicester on loan. He'd like Fuchs in on loan from Leicester as well, but I don't think we've got any chance of getting those guys. That's Christian, isn't it? Christian Fuchs. Alan Swindle says, Liam Clarkson, we won't get anywhere near what we paid for them, though. Plus the massive revenue losses, we're not Premier League. Sam Clarkson says, how can Sam Vokes jog around with no effort and get a place in the squad? Steve Knowing says, I stood up to clap Charlie Adam.
You've said it twice, so good were your claps.
Yeah. And Marty Farmer says, so did I. He was a good servant to Stoke.
Fine. Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Ash Mould says, and as a striker, would you sign for Stoke knowing you're going to find yourself up top on your own chasing long balls? Melanie Stanway says, there wasn't at Wolves or Leicester. Now, what do you mean? What does she mean by that? Liam Clarkson says their priority is Betsuit 365. This is the Coates family, I presume he's on about. And Stoke is used as a platform to catapult their business. That's obvious.
Well, it was. It's probably not anymore because they're hardly on the TV, which is why I don't think you should perhaps expect them to be around forever.
John Stoddard said Vokes just didn't jog about at Bury. Put the effort in when he came on. And Liam says that's rubbish, he's been terrible. John Hall says, exactly, Russ. They should have got more involved when managers have been signing players. If the manager didn't like it, tough. And the manager didn't like it, tough. John Stoddard says, being terrible and not putting the effort in are completely different. That's
which is
obvious.
What I just said.
Yeah, Stevie Breeze, your mate Stevie Breeze is watching. That's nice. He's probably wanting to find out how he's doing in the Super Six. Rob Wilshaw says, imagine a chief executive overseeing such a downturn in any other industry and remaining in his position, let alone with the salary increase.
I would agree with you 100%.
George Harding says, what's that chant people shout? Gary Rowett, he's laughing at you. He is definitely laughing at us.
Well, he will be because he's still getting paid by us.
Lee Stokey says, yes, I clap Charlie Adam, but he made mistakes, but I'd never question his commitment. He wasn't used nearly enough and has twice the footballing brain than all our team put together and occasionally got me off my seat. That's why he got a standing ovation he deserved.
So, Lee, I'll ask you now, do you believe that all those players that are playing on Boxing Day should be, as seems to be going to happen, booed from minute one or told they're not fit to wear the shirt? Because they too have made mistakes. Some of them have put in the effort. Not many of them have got me off my seat other than to go for a drink early. But I'd just be interested in your point of view.
I don't think the guy's off his seat now, even when they score. Because I'm not sure. When McLean scored against Luton, people were that shocked, they couldn't get up.
No. Can I just interrupt for a second? Can. This is a good letter. With our so-called best players likely to be cashed in the next few weeks, it looks like the Coates family are cutting their losses and clearing the decks for relegation. At best, the current team being selected by a new manager can only be described as totally out of their depth. Our two best players, who together make a formidable midfield, the engine room of the team, aren't even on the bench. Presumably, the manager has been told by Coach Junior and Scholes not to pick them in case they get a serious injury before the transfer window. And I'm sorry to say, unless the pair of them stop interfering with team selection for financial reasons, Michael O'Neill will be heading the same way as Hughes, Lambert, Rowett and Jones. Only in the former's case, he might well stick two fingers up to us and walk away as a matter of principle. I wish he would, because I don't rate him at all. Why, oh why, will no top-class experienced league manager touch us with a barge pole? The club should have a fire sale, MFI style, everything must go, and then select the under-23s. At least they'll go down fighting, from what I hear. Expecting an onslaught of moans and booing on Boxing Day, unless we look like doing something which we're going to have to. Wednesday sold about 3,000 and are currently on a good run. They won with a penalty, didn't they, today in the 80th minute. Mm. With Fulham and Huddersfield away after this fixture, I fully expect us to be cast adrift by a few points in last position and heading for the rocks in early January. I once remember a match at Vale Park in the early 60s. The Vale were getting slaughtered and were serious relegation candidates. Stan Wright, the silkscreen department manager on H&R Johnson Towers from Tunstall, a work colleague standing alongside me in the railway paddock, let vent to his emotions. During a lull in the crowd, he bawled out, "Show 'em no mercy, Mail, show 'em no mercy," to all Stoke opponents a plea. "Show us some mercy, please, show us some mercy. Otherwise, we're doomed."
We're doomed. Another question for you to ask Michael O'Neill here, Ange. Can you ask Michael O'Neill why we have 11 men back for an opposition corner? First minute or 90th, we never leave one or two up top. So the second we clear it, he comes straight back down our throat. I've never understood that in a month of Sundays.
Nor me.
And again, these people have got coaching badges, Ange.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have never understood it. I've never understood how we what we do from corners. Any of the last three or four managers, I've not had a clue about what they're doing from a corner kick or a dead ball or anything, Ange. I mean, spread your players out and make a nuisance of themselves. Wherever the ball comes in, you've got a chance of getting it. I mean, we never put anyone. I keep getting about this near post issue. But we never put anyone on the near post. It drives me mad.
Mm.
You know, you could dummy it. You could do anything from there, couldn't you? You could cause havoc. Yeah. I just don't get it.
Bin the L plate says, "I'm missing out listening tonight and saving the show to listen to on our drive down south."
You might not get there.
I'm sure you'll have pulled over by now. "Yeah, missing the game and I can't face another 90 minutes. Me and my son won't be renewing our season tickets as we've finished with the whole sorry lot. We've better things to do with our time and money. They're losing season ticket holders faster than games at the moment, and it's not just short-term fans. I'm in my 50s and I've not seen the club in a worse state. The club is rotten all the way through and has imploded so quickly I fear for its existence. Relegation looks a certainty, and a return to anything close to some resemblance of success out on the pitch will take at least a decade of rebuilding, FFP permitting. Am I sad? Yes, I am. Am I bothered? Not anymore. Will I miss it? Probably not. And those are the sort of people that our football club can't afford to lose." Crouch Potato 1 says, "Ange, have you heard any rumours about us looking to sell the ground, like other clubs have done to try and get round FFP? I don't think they could, because I think Stoke Holdings own it, but I'll be sure. Old Clem says, "How can you sell something that you don't own?" And Crouch Potatoes then come back and said Stoke Holdings, and he's also said no way Rowett will be getting paid by us now with him being manager of Millwall, surely. I'll take your point on that, but I don't necessarily believe it.
Ash Little says, "Surely the club have been asked for a comment by the Sentinel, and if it wasn't true, they'd have denied it. Maybe it's an above inflation increase or something." If you haven't been listening, that's about Tony Scholes and his
£175,000. All I'll answer but that is, I don't think that the journalists these days ask for some comments. Certainly, I don't think they do.
I'm laughing now because I remember someone who used to use the same expression but used to say chocolate fire guard instead of this. Mm-hmm. If you watch Vokes every match day, you'll know he's been about as much use as a chocolate teapot. or as somebody said the other day, didn't they? As we put on the show, cardboard cutout. Yeah. Sam Vokes from the club shop. Poor Sam. Ben Cliff says, the most annoying thing is, if we go down, the majority of the team will leave and go to Championship teams and maybe even Premier League teams.
And probably play well.
And these players will be amazing for those clubs once they leave us. There's no love for the badge from the majority of the team. Well, you've got to ask yourself, why are they playing badly for us, haven't you? And so there's, what's the reason?
The one thing that I find the most difficult, and it could just be me, is that how many local players are involved in the squad? First thing, how many local people have positions of influence in the football club?
The owners.
Apart from that, if we have owners that just decide to let other people run the business for them, to me, and it could just be a very simple idea that I have that might have lost itself over time. But if you have an investment in terms of loyalty to the club because you love the area or you love the team, or you've supported the club, I would suggest you'll try a little bit harder. People do not leave a place that they work at because of the conditions at the place. They leave a place because of the manager that they work for, right? And I'm suggesting that if, as in manager management, so I'm suggesting if in departments at Stoke, the management was local or proud of what they were doing, you probably get more out of your workforce. Now, it's Michael O'Neill has come in and he's had a little time, and if he continues with the amount of points he's got for the next however many matches, we'll probably be around 37 points if we're lucky. That's not enough to stay up. No. And I'm going to give you my my start of my 12 Days of Christmas. Mine started with 12 spinal boards. You can work out why we needed spinal boards.
Ryan Shawcross?
No, because none of our players appear to play with a spine. They are spineless.
Oh.
Right? Just 11 players willing, 10 goals from forwards, and the number 9. Ted and Jules went on with 9 points needed, 8 set pieces, 7 pairs of gloves, 6 free kicks, 5 different managers, 4 cupping years, 3 strange substitution, 2 blind linesmen, and a biased referee. We'll go on to the rest later.
Cupping ears. We haven't even mentioned that, have we?
We mentioned it the last time we were.
Yeah, but people keep mentioning that in the week, don't they? Yeah. How dare you cup your ears at us playing like
that? Well, we should all do it when they come out. Do you want to play the
audio? Do you know what would be a great thing, actually, if we did score on? What about if we scored on Boxing Day? Like Manchester City do the Poznan or whatever. We all do this. Clapping.
Everybody listening on radio that's not on Facebook, I'll just describe what Russell did. He cupped his ears. Great radio.
It's amazing my hands are big enough to go around them, actually. James Frankham says, how much resale value do we have in this squad? Very, very poor recruitment. Gary Eagle says it's recruitment that's been the problem. End of. John Stoddart says he doesn't disagree with what Liam's saying about Vokes, but he said that's different than not putting any effort in. Liam Clarkson says if I was viewed as a professional, I would work my best to prove them wrong.
Yeah, but you've probably got a spine, Liam.
Yeah, Ben Davies says, isn't partly the reason why managers love to come to us because they always say they like the owners? Is that another way of them saying they will be left alone and can do what they want with minimal interference? We're lucky to have local rich owners, but maybe they need to treat it like their other business. They would sort failings in Bet365 fast enough, no doubt. Managers and the background team and the players need to be more accountable from above.
Couldn't agree more.
What a great point.
Couldn't agree more.
Brilliant point, Ben. I think we're with you on that 100%. Martin Mason says, I'm done after 40 years watching my team. Why should I put in the time and effort coming from the Wirral to watch utter tripe? They don't put in the effort. Why should I? Alan Finneran says, company's house, Ange.
Correct, and that's when people will see that some of the statements they're making at the moment seem to be wrong.
Okay, Liam Clarkson says, I bet he's got a national living wage increment.
Every single member of Stoke City staff has a national living wage increment, not just the CEO. Every single member of staff, from Tea Lady right the way up.
Didn't we get done for not playing people properly for that?
Playing people?
Paying people properly.
I don't know.
We did, didn't we?
Can't remember.
Weren't we one of the clubs named who didn't pay a national living wage?
No idea.
Not that long ago, which is another scandal. Ash Mould says, no one goes to Boo, or the boos would start at the first whistle. The players on the pitch create the crowd atmosphere. Gary Pardy says, just a question, is it all actually Scholes' fault? If so, why? It's just a genuine question, says Gary.
I don't think, Gary, and we'll listen to the audio in a sec while Russ gets his voice back, I don't think it's all Scholes' fault. I don't think you can simply lay the blame at the demise and the catastrophic fall of Stoke City on one person's door. But what you can say is that the buck tends to stop with the CEO of any business. And a failing business, you normally start at the top and move down.
Right, let's hear from Michael O'Neill anyway after the Middlesbrough game. This is a short clip and a short few questions that Ange did ask him for a change after Middlesbrough.
One winner when we scored the goal, but then two very preventable goals and we're on the back foot again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You know, we handed the initiative back to the opposition with goals that were preventable, and as a result of that, you know, we come away from nothing, and you know, I think that has probably been a pattern of this season, and you know, before I arrived at the club, and certainly, you know, it was the case in the game tonight.
When you go into the dressing room after a match like that, and everybody sits and probably says the same thing over and over again, just small margins, little mistakes, how do you now lift them for the next match on Boxing Day?
They have to lift themselves, simple as that. They have to lift themselves. We're in this position. The league table doesn't lie, first of all, so we're in this position. So as a group of players, as a coaching staff, we have responsibility and we have an accountability for where the team is at this moment in time. So the players need to lift themselves, and obviously we need to prepare the team and lift them for the game on Boxing Day. But every game is crucial. Now, you know, we're not dancing around the issue. We're in a relegation fight. I believe that since the moment I walked through the door. I believe that, having worked with the squad now over just over a month, that that's the case. And what they have to show me now is that they've got the character and the stomach for the games that lie ahead.
You've talked about having the character and stomach, and I don't think many fans realise that in the January transfer window, you might not be able to get the players in that you want to get in for a whole host of reasons. Getting players out, financial fair play. You knew this when you came in, but how difficult do you think it's going to be?
I don't think it's going to be easy. I think that, you know, we have a big group of players at the football club, possibly a number of those players looking elsewhere, which is not ideal. And we need what I would like to do is obviously try and streamline the squad, put an honest squad as we can and an honest team as we can on the pitch, because I believe that those are the characteristics that will get us out of trouble. And as I say, you're right, the transfer window will prove very, very challenging, but we're working, you know, 24 hours a day to look at what our options may be. But equally, we're going to have to get players out to make that a realistic proposition.
Well, hope you have a nice Christmas and thank you.
Thank you. Hope we have a nice Christmas and thank you. Right, I'll go on to...
Can I just say before you go on to anything?
Okay.
There were two telling things there for me. I want an honest group of players that I think will get us out of this situation, which suggests to me he's not happy with the current squad he's got in terms of fight. And he also said that some players are looking elsewhere. And that might not just be Ndiaye, that could even be Etebo. Well, and that could be the reason he's not playing him. I'm not saying it is, but those two comments to me were very telling.
Yeah, but they might have started that ball rolling by not being picked, Ange.
I don't agree with that for 1 minute.
Oh, OK. Well, I'm just putting the alternative point of view.
Yeah, of course you
are. Another question for you to ask Michael O'Neill here, Ange. I hope you're making a note of all these.
Carry on. I'm not making a note of any of them.
Okay, Ange, can you ask Michael O'Neill why McLean and Ince never swap wings?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point.
Yeah, that's about six you've got. The press conference should be a bit longer this week.
Well, I get told off for it being as long as it is by the Sentinel, believe it or not, because they don't like to have to write it up. Well, that's straight up. Martin Spinks asked me to cut it short last time, didn't he, Martin?
Well, you've got six or seven very good questions, and he's going to be...
Let alone the questions I'm going to ask,
The colour of a beetroot by the time this is finished, yeah, with your inquisition. Steve Knowing says, I stood up to clap Charlie Adam, and I did so because he was a fantastic player for our club over the course of his many years with us. I didn't hold the last season we had in the Premier League against him, and for you to hold it against him, Ange, is just wrong. You are out of order. I also never get on the players' backs during the game, even though they deserve it most of the time. In my opinion, it is counterproductive.
Stephen, I didn't hold it against him. I said I didn't get up and give him a standing ovation. I think he was a very good player for our football club. But the vast majority of people said he was a legend in our last week's show. And he will never be a legend for me at Stoke City. I think he scored one of the finest goals I've ever seen. But I'm certainly not going to get up and applaud somebody that left us in circumstances that he probably didn't want to, but then found the time to go on to TalkSport and ridicule a lot of things about our football club.
Okay. Can I give you another question for Michael O'Neill, Ange?
You can tell me whatever you want.
Can you ask Michael O'Neill, who Russ says has coaching badges, supposedly, why, and that's Tom, by the way, not me saying that, why are we like statues from throw-ins and also 25 yards from the throw-in? Baffling. There you go. There's another one. Leonard Smith, if he's earned more money than the previous year, then what else other than an increase in pay do you class it as, says Leonard.
Look at Company's House, Leonard. It will tell you word for word.
Ash Mould says that would mean Ince breaking sweat and getting up off the floor. That was Ash Mould in response to John Stoddard, I think. Martin Farm says, let's face it, Angela, we're all better managerial experts than the current management. We are fickle
Martin.
Fans. Booing one week and applause for a player the next game. We are where we are and the fans have had no part in it. Another question for you, Ange. When was the last time we signed a player and made him better? Was it Arnie or Begovic is his suggestion. The transfer record of the last 5 years has been scandalous. How can Tony Scholes defend this transfer record and remain in a job?
Paul, can I answer that question in my own way, please? I don't think Scholes did defend his transfer record. I think he and other people threw a man called Mark Cartwright under a bus. And he's now been replaced with somebody who... it'll be interesting to see, won't it, how he gets on with the new manager, because he was brought in by the old manager. And yes, I did think it was a pain in answer to that question.
OK. Paul Ferguson says they haven't rewarded failure, Ange, question mark. Joe Allen got a new contract when we went down on $65,000 a week.
I was
Paul.
Actually talking about the CEO, but yes, I take your point, Paul.
John Hall says Scholes should be sacked, end of. Ben Davies says get a manager with great possession who plays attractive football but hardly wins. There's hardly any moaning. Get a manager who picks up more points, granted poorer standard, and there's uproar. And backwards. We gave Jones plenty of time and allowed him to recruit most of the current issues.
Yeah, I think I said last week as well, Ben, that it was hard to imagine how we could have got a worse squad than we had, but Nathan Jones managed to do it, bringing in players that I would suggest that most Stoke fans wouldn't like. The only saving grace was I think he spent $8 million doing so.
Okay, Leonard says we don't reward failure, but Tony Scholes still has a job. Sure, that's recording failure.
And I'd Gary, go along with that, Leonard.
And Gary Eagle says, I'm saying nothing to Ange at the moment.
Good.
I've got enough with the wife. I don't need it in stereo.
Good, Gary. Go home. Switch off, Gary.
I don't know what they're on about, Ange. You haven't been. They wanted to know you when you were at your boisterous best a few years ago.
Yeah.
Ted says, we went on the coach and we were too devastated to hang around any longer than required. So there you are.
I nearly stamped on your sweater.
Have you wrapped it for
him? No, not now. It's all unwrapped and stamped on.
Oh, you're not going to be able to see him before Christmas now, are
no.
you? Len Smith says, imagine if we sacked Hughes when we should have.
Yeah, I do honestly believe we would not be in this position. But as people have already said, we are where we are.
He should have been sacked after that game against Arsenal. Definitely. Andrew Tunnicliffe says, don't you both think our best players have been left out of the squad? Yes. So they don't get injured, so they can sell them in January. I should have thought that was the obvious answer. Probably, yeah.
Or, conversely, if they think they're going to sell them, they don't want people to see how bad they are, really, so the sale doesn't go through.
It's all right. I've just been distracted by a picture of Morph there, which looks like Morph's enjoying himself rather a lot on that on the timeline. Anyway,
looking at you, Russell.
Andrew Tunnicliffe said, he's just said, Chris Gallimore says, I agree with Ange, the back room does need a shake-up.
And that's probably why Andy Quay went.
Liam Clarkson says, would you have a phobia back? Definitely. Different manager, potentially Gem, or do you believe he was toxic? No, I don't believe he was toxic, no, but fans certainly did. But he might, it might work with another, but he's got, he wouldn't work with one up. worried. Aaron Poole says, all I want for Christmas is Stoke out of relegation. Paul Ferguson says, Martin Spinks is like a PR manager for the club. He never gives a player below 5 in his ratings. Well, if Martin is listening, that is becoming a bit of an issue with the fans, and I'm sure he knows it anyway. There was also a report saying Ndai was a disaster. That's been written by the club, he says, to try and discredit Ndai. Is he any less of a disaster than the 65k a week man, Allen? Lee Davies says, League One, here we come. How long before we see League Two?
One season.
What, we're going down again?
I see no alternative.
Frank Park says, great show, guys. Merry Christmas. January is massive. Gosh, I'll say that every window now. We will come good, fingers crossed.
Happy Christmas, Frank.
Lee Gould says, I agree with Ange. The Senti Vale is a disgrace. It's with its Vale loving, all caused by the editor. Hope Martin Tyswell isn't listening. Stuart Faulkner says, Stoke need Ange in the dressing room to show them their passion. Well, funnily enough, Ange, you've done that before, haven't you? But not for us.
Yes. You better tell people what you're talking about.
Ange was a motivator in the Wigan dressing room when they won the FA Cup, for anybody who wants to know that story. So.
And also the same motivator when they got relegated. So, you know, for every bonus, there's a downside. But,
You must know Ben Watson quite well then, Ange.
I do.
Yeah. Liam Clarkson, are most of the 37 players away from first team training? Surely he has a top 15 to 20 who want to play for the club.
I think that's true, Liam, yeah.
Which, of course, can't create a very good atmosphere anyway down there, can it? Gary Eagle says, I dropped my very good friends, Ted and Jules, a Christmas card off this morning, only to find Jules rooting through a charity bag for a Christmas jumper. Bless her.
See, and she could have had that. Mind it isn't a Christmas jumper, it's a very posh jumper.
Yeah, it was a Pringle jumper, was it?
No.
It was, wasn't it? Leonard Smith says, Michael O'Neill is doing the best he's got with the squad he's inherited. Brian Finney says, evening. We need to be playing 4-4-2 and get Verlinden back. He can play left or right and leave Ince out, Vokes out, Gregory and Hogan up front. Duffy never even been given a chance, and the fans slagging Joe Allen off, and he's our 100% at every game. Collins in the back four. I have to say, Brian, an objective coach watched the game on Friday night, watched Stoke, and said without Allen, Stoke would be in even more trouble. So, you know, take that as you. We're all slagging off Allen, but there's a coach watching the game and said that Allen, without him, we'd have been in all even worse trouble. And we might be out without him soon. John Beach says, don't sell the club. That's just stupid. Can't get better prospects for owners. Mistakes have been made, and they need to take control of the club again and put together a new modern-day structure. There has to be experienced former active football CEOs out there who will restructure this club correctly. And at the moment, keep faith with Michael O'Neill. Merry Christmas all. Great show.
Thank you, John.
It's a great point by John. I have to say, John, it's about 18 months too late at least, though. Which is rather worrying, really, when you think about it, isn't it? That they would never have let this situation. If profits were sliding at Bet365 like this, they would never have let that happen. Without serious drastic action, would they, Ange? No, they wouldn't. Liam Clarkson says, anyone think McLean limped off on purpose against Borough? The poor lad couldn't wait to go home for Christmas. Oh, crimes. I mean, one thing you can't knock him for is his effort.
I think when people get annoyed, they lash out at anybody, Ross.
I mean, you know, and, you know, I've... Like I say, I'm saying nothing, but you can't knock McLean for his effort. John Stoddard says, I don't know how Ince gets tired. He might get dizzy going around in circles. Ben Cliff says, Michael O'Neill, or as he puts it, Martin, is in a lose-lose situation no matter who he picks. The team is always going to be weak and the entire team will have zero confidence whatsoever. We have two players who have played the last two games who actually care, and that's Clucas and McLean. It's a team of absolutely zero confidence, and that's the hardest thing to manage, especially when you're used to losing and the fans on your case no matter what. Lee Gould says, how Ince and Cousins get tired, I do not know, which is funny after they've both said that separately, two people. Robert Mills says, I don't think we would be any better under Rowett due to the fact that Scholes and the backroom staff are still at the club. I also feel playing wide men feels better O'Neill will eventually change the club, but a lot of people have to go first. John Hall says, Rudy Gestede always looked a handful, and yet we spent $9 million on Ledbit Vokes.
Yeah.
Mandy Dowling says, I thought Duffy was a winger. Where is he?
He's a sort of wingy midfielder, isn't he?
Never been given a chance, though.
No, but that in itself tells you something. He obviously doesn't rate him.
Yeah.
Stokey Mark says, I live near Cambridge, and I had a free afternoon because obviously we played on the Friday. I went to watch Cambridge v Leighton in League Two. Both teams were 100% committed and went hammer and tongs for a full 90 minutes. Not once was a ball played across the back, and every 50-50 ball was competed for with a level of desire that I haven't seen by a Stoke player for a long time. It finished 3-2 to Orient, and Cambridge were applauded off the pitch for their part in a great game of football. It could be argued that there wasn't a huge amount of skill on show, but it left me thinking just how things will go from bad to worse if we go down, if this is how the game is played in the bottom two leagues. This team of unfit, slow, indecisive, uncommitted chancers could learn a lesson or two simply by showing a degree of desire to do their jobs properly, like the lads who are on the same money a year that our rabble are on in a week. Oh, and Skulls out. Thanks both, and a Merry Christmas to you and your families. Stokey Mark.
I'll tell you something, Ange. Those who follow me on Twitter will know that I was at Belper Town on Saturday. Finished 5-2 against Market Drayton, and it was a fantastic game of football. And everywhere I go as an independent person, like Telford last Tuesday, it was 5-0 to Leamington Spa. I'm seeing better games of football everywhere I go than what I'm watching down there. And I can understand why people don't want to go anymore. I can, really. Andrew Tunnicliffe says, the best players are not being picked so they don't get injured. Then they don't get sold. Scott Price says, hope Michael O'Neill finds the right players in January that can help us turn this around. Left back and a winger are an absolute priority. Ben Cliff says, and I agree with him here, but you've been on, Andrew's been on about this for ages. I don't understand how you can say our players aren't fit enough. 75% of them don't break a sweat.
Well, there you go.
But I mean, you've been on about it for years, haven't you? You don't think they're fit enough,
no, I don't.
Do you? And that's something.
And that doesn't just have to be physically fit, it can be mentally fit too. If you're not mentally attuned to play the game, you suddenly don't want to run, your legs are like lead.
Stuart Fulton says he's in a wheelchair and he could get down the wing better than Ince. George Harding says, where's Bruno Martins Indy, Ange?
I think he's gone the same hiding place as Woods.
Okay. Judith Barnett says, O'Neill didn't help himself when he leaves out to Tebow and Ndai, even if they want to go. There's no zap in midfield with the others.
I agree.
John Blood says, we need reverse psychology. There is no way Stoke fans would pick a Tebow or play two strikers. I think he's trying to be funny there. Jerry Cavani says, true, I've never seen 20 degrees here in December. So there you are, so it is true. Kev Hill says, it's a shambles from top to bottom. We get nothing from Scholes or the Coates family other than Bull. Other teams address their problems. Don't blame the financial fair play. They sorted it properly and getting the right personnel. When they need a striker, they get one with pedigree and spend the money on him and not the garbage. They say they watch them. If that's the case, they must have tinted glasses on. And Ange, I just agree with you and your comments.
Thank you. Can I say on that point, look at West Brom. West Brom were worse than us when they got relegated. They got rid of Jay Rodriguez, right, who was never deemed good enough for Stoke. Dwight Gale, who scored goals. Look at them now. Look where they are in the league now. They also got rid of their CEO and they cleared the decks. Now, maybe they were lucky, but they got in an exceptional manager. I'm not saying Michael O'Neill isn't a good manager, by the way, but they got in a manager with a proven track record and they will go up. And if Stoke don't realise this time that they have to do something, then I really do think we will continue to go down.
Right. Liam Clarkson says, Stoke is their second business. They focus on Bet365 and look at their growth, yet our club is going backwards. I have to say, Liam, you're quite right about that, but the facts do not lie about how much money they've actually put into the football club. The question is how it has been spent and on whom, and why, whether they should have got people in who were better qualified to look after that money that they were putting in bucket loads.
And I will say that my understanding is that Gary Rowett was doing the deals direct with John coats, and you'd like to think that a CEO would turn around and say, hang on, I'm not happy with this. I don't know what happened there, but Rowett quickly worked out that he could go straight to John Coates. I understand that Nathan Jones did the same, and they both befriended John. I just couldn't see that happening at Bet365 with the daughter.
No. But like I say, but £176 million, yeah, pounds.
And this is why I
think... Or 182, I think the current figure is now.
I think it's laughable when people say get rid and sell up. Hmm. I mean, they'd be delighted, I would think, wouldn't you, if you lost £182 million?
Yeah, I do get that. They won't notice that money. That's another story altogether. But I have to say this, Ange. If I was spending £182 million, I've got to say whether it would have cost me, you know, whether it would have affected my life or not to lose that sort of money, I would have been far more involved and unhappy and making decisions a lot quicker than they've done at certain times. Yeah. I have to say.
We have 20 minutes left, and I'm quite conscious that we haven't had your predictions for the Boxing Day game or the game at Fulham, because we obviously won't be doing a show because that's on the Sunday. And, you know, we don't really want to be in too much stress.
Well, we're not going to do one over Christmas, are we?
But what I'm saying is we want the results and their forecast now.
Oh, yeah. And Liam says, he goes on to say, he can't tell me they don't know how to run a business with the Bet365 figures. But that, obviously there's a different person running that business.
Yeah.
Ben Cliff says, I don't blame the Coates family at all. They've trusted the people with their mass amounts of money. And to be fair, Ben, Angie said this before, they employ people and they expect them to do the job for them. Angie, you've always said that, haven't you?
Yeah.
But if they're failing, they haven't seemed to have got rid of certain people who've been letting them down. And Ben goes on to say they've been let down massively by a bunch of people who clearly don't know anything about football. And that's cost the club and the team and the fans more than they know. John Beach says, it's interesting to see more people listening to the show than going to the games. That's a fair... That could well happen, Ange, for the end of the season. Melanie Stanway says, the Coates family haven't got the cojones to get rid of Scholes. Ted says, we played Middlesbrough under-23s. Collins played, which is the point I'm making there, Ange. Collins played and Tyree scored two and we lost
3-2.
It was unbelievable. Neil Williams says, hallelujah, I 100% agree, but sadly the Coates family have not got it in them to turn this around. 5 years could be a minimum. Look how they did it with the new corner, managerial appointments, mainly after Hughes, and this the self-sufficient nonsense. We didn't learn our lesson. They have learnt nothing and are going down to another division, which will not mean they will wake up and get the right players all set up within the club. It's rotten to the core. 10 years in the Prem is insignificant now. It's more like their tenure when we were in the third tier.
Yeah, and I feel that Peter's legacy, which is looking really good, probably won't look great anymore. We'll just go on to the 12 days of Christmas. Wayne's contributed 9 points in the next 9 days, 8 clean sheets, 7 to go in Jan, 6 more minutes for Ryan, 5 goals at the Cottage, 4th round of the FA Cup, 3 mince pies for Lakin, 2 tins of paint for Harry Potter, and 1 more point than 3rd from bottom.
Okay, Scott Bailey says, I know we've been poor, but how rubbish are the referees in this league?
Very.
There was a good one at Belper yesterday, I have to say.
That's great.
Christopher Gallimore says, Tom Ince for Blackpool was dynamite and unplayable at times. What went wrong? Money, probably. Andrew Tunnicliffe says, Coates got rid of Humphreys, so why not the CEO? Humphreys. Ben Cliff says, players go in the transfer to go in the transfer window. Carter Vickers, Duffy, Hogan, Atibo, Endai, Campbell, Butland, Bruno, Imbula, and Winnie.
Wimmy.
Roy Price says, Tom Ince is a one-trick pony who doesn't even have one trick. He's as predictable as the sun coming up. Have the players thought of reimbursing our ticket money to those who were with us, went up to Middlesbrough? 50-odd years of following Stoke, and it's not worth bothering with now, says Roy. Jade says, have a lovely Christmas and New Year. Gary Pardy says, Sky don't like Stoke. That must be about that Stoke v Sheffield Wednesday game. Paul Higgs says, players to leave. Butland, Indy, Woods, Allen, Atibo, Cousins, Vokes, Campbell, Jeef and Ince. My goodness, if we got rid of them, I think the chief executive would be happy, actually. Ben Cliff says, Stoke don't like Stoke. Sarah Bailey says, Scholes out, I need to make a banner. Ooh, Ange, what will be the policy on any banners like that, do you think?
They'll probably be taken down as being provocative.
Will they? Dave Bailey says, League One, here we come. I bet there will be one. Nigel Carr says, and he won't be in Block 8 either before we say anything. Nigel Carr says, Owen Doyle, the lad at Swindon, that's who he says, he's on loan from Bradford. Ash Mould says, prediction for Boxing Day, as always, I'm going Stoke nil. I wondered what Jack Butland was on about when he says we've had some cracking results on Boxing Day at the Bet365. How long ago is that?
About 5 years, I think.
How long ago was he talking?
About 5 years, I think.
I can't remember one, can you? Against Liverpool, we did.
It doesn't
once,
matter, though, it's history.
Yeah. One thing that attracts players to Stoke is 4 or 5 year contracts.
I agree.
What a great point that is. Liam Clarkson says, Gregory is a great hold-up player, but not an out-and-out striker. He needs that striker up there with him who can make the runs, gamble and have a decent boot on him. Ash Mould says, I got a T-shirt on it saying, Scholes and Cartwright, get out and take Fletcher with you. Two down, one to go. Ha-ha. Fletcher?
Yeah.
Oh, Darren Fletcher. Yeah, right. Yeah, good God, I forgot about him. Nigel Carr says, went past the 20 mark at Forest Green yesterday. Happy Christmas, Russ and Ange.
Same to you, Nige.
Steve Bree says Super Sex is overrated.
Must have had a bad week.
Melanie Stanway says Wolves' comment was about AGI saying not queuing to bias. Ange, I think she means.
Yeah.
Chris Gallimore says Stoke 4, Sheffield Wednesday 4. Stoke race into a 4-0 lead before half time. And Stoke take the foot off the gas and Sheffield leave it late, scoring 4 goals in the last 5 minutes. I'll tell you what, I'd rather it was the other way around, but I bet there wouldn't be many fans in the ground to watch that comeback,
no,
Ange.
No.
Gary Pardy says, are Sheffield Wednesday in trouble with FFP?
Not,
I doubt
no
it.
Idea.
I doubt it. Lee Stoke says, I appreciate your view, Ange, and no, I think it's wrong to boo players during the game, particularly if it's premeditated. But if the effort is lacking in the end, at the end again, I'm afraid this lot deserve what's coming. But I personally will not be booing.
Lee, I have no problem with people showing their feelings at the end of the match. I said that at the start. If you want to boo at the end of the match, I think you're just wasting your energy because I really don't think they care.
Wow, listen to this.
Yeah.
Ted, I think we'll finish rock bottom at the end of the season.
Yeah, and then Ben Cliff goes on to say we're going to emulate a team wearing the same colour as us.
Yeah, and I think we're heading the same way as, and I think...
look at the answers.
Yeah, very sad, Ted, but I feel you're correct. Mind your fingers with those biscuits,
it wasn't.
Ange.
You know what, Lee? I'm really disappointed.
It's a fruit
because
pie.
It's Christmas, I bought a lovely cherry fruit pie, and Russ, being Russ, hasn't even brought a flipping fork up.
I haven't even had a chance, go down and fetch another drink yet. Roy Price says, is it true that we no longer have win bonuses at our club, or do they get the same money, win, lose or draw?
Don't know.
How many more managers do we have to blame before we realise it's not their fault, it runs through the club from top to bottom? Well, I don't think the staff are getting any bonuses anymore either.
I honestly have no idea, so I'm not going to speculate.
Well, I'm not speculating, I know. Ben Davies says, apparently Scholes has booked a box at Vale next year for the Robbie concert. Maybe he will reveal his Vale top underneath his jumper as well. Mm-hmm. Agent Scholes. Steve Breeze, Ange, can you ask Michael O'Neill why they call orange jam marmalade?
Yeah, okay, Steve.
And Ben Cliff, can you ask Michael O'Neill why they call... Michael O'Neill, while they call Steve Breeze the cheat. John Hall says he agrees with you, Andrew says Charlie Adam is not a club legend. Tony Napper says, compared to what rubbish we've got now, Adam is more than a legend. Okay, Gaz Oliver says, players on $500,000 a month or little less makes me fuming. I own my own business, but if I don't do a good job, I'm sure my clients wouldn't pay me. How the hell do these players get away with it? Put them on pay as you play. Gary Pardy says, as Stoke fans, there's nothing we can do but hope. Hope something does happen in January. Another thing we can do is get behind the players. I know it's frustrating and we want to boo. I fully understand that. But let's get behind the team. At least we'll have done our part. I'll tell you what, Gary. If the players put a shift in, the fans are still there for them. But they are not for them anymore if they don't. And I think that's me speaking personally as well as anyone else. Lee Fallows says, the frustration for me, as Jones always said, his team were doing good work and the environment was great. Surely O'Neill wouldn't have upset the environment that much with his experience. Just another talk the talk from Jones without walk the walk. Ben Davies says, I heard our number two was Roy Keane kind of coach, and he clearly hasn't shaken them up either. Actually, I can't remember seeing him on the touchline or at any press conferences. I've seen him on the touchline, I have to say. I'm sure Ange has too. We can't have so many poor players. I would say to me, there is no fear factor from above, and there are some players in and around the squad stirring the rest up. We've heard from the past players that there was a bad atmosphere due to certain players. Maybe some still remain. Neil Price says, our three loans of Hogan, Carter, Vickers and Duffy should all go back to free up squad space. Timing and Valinden will be back in January, in Neil's point of view. Ben Cliff says he went to Stocksbridge Park Steels vs Kidsgrove Athletic yesterday. I know they won 3-0, Ben. I was keeping an eye on that. It was full-blooded game for a bunch of lads committed to win, ending up with a 3-0 win to Kidsgrove Athletic. It was freezing, but I was smiling and completely forgot about the Friday night game. Liam Clarkson's giving his predictions. 2-0 loss on Boxing Day and then a nice 4-0 loss to Fulham. Can't see anything else. Good grief. Gary Pardy says it's ridiculous saying they should sell up. Good God, the grass is not always greener.
Man United Boxing Day.
Yeah, that was that. How long ago was that, Ange?
About 6 years, 7 years.
Yeah. Ben Cliff's gone for Stoke 1, Sheffield Wednesday 3, Fulham 3, Stoke 2. Jade's gone for Stoke 2, Sheffield Wednesday 1, Fulham 2, Stoke 2. Jade's positive. Neil's gone for Stoke 1, Sheffield Wednesday 2, Fulham 2, Stoke 0. Ted's gone for Stoke 0, Sheffield Wednesday 2, Fulham 2, Stoke 0. Now, this is positive people saying this. Jay Denny says, have a lovely Christmas and New Year. Not if the results go like this. Alan's gone for 3-0, 3-0. Unless the freak results kick in. Steve Roberts has gone for Stoke 1, Sheffield Wednesday 0, and Fulham 1, Stoke 2. We'll be cheering if that happens. Liam Cope says, I went to Borough on Friday and we're absolutely shocking. Why is it so comfortable for teams to see a game out against us and had one effort on goal from Allen when we went 2-1 down? George Arden says, people saying it's best for us to go down are deluded. That's what Coventry, Sunderland and Portsmouth thought, and look how it's turned out for them. Sheffield Wednesday may be in trouble with FFP, something to do with the sale of their ground.
Now you mentioned that, I remember it. Yeah, they've been done for, it's not, what they've done isn't legal apparently.
Ted and Jules say, watching our team is so heartbreaking. Paul Frith says, respect the managers. George Harding says, Ange, what do you think the season ticket figures will be next season? The 1863 band has died off quicker than it started.
I honestly have no idea what the price will be. It'll have to go down, won't it? Although you can't see them saying they'll go send it down. They'll probably want to put it up now in our lot. KU Stokey says, I'm totally fed up. I can't see us winning either games over Christmas.
Oh dear. Cambridge Stokey Ant says, many thanks for your hard work and bringing us the show, Ange and Russ. Happy Christmas.
And Crouch Potato says, don't forget the infamous 84-85 season when we beat Man United on Boxing Day.
One of the three wins.
Yeah. How can we forget that?
Ian Payne to penalty.
Can you just tell me now what you think about your prediction for the next two games, please, Russell?
Two losses.
Okay. I'm going for one win, one loss. And
where's the win coming from?
Oh, Boxing Day.
You're going against Sheffield Wednesday?
Yeah, I think we'll beat Sheffield Wednesday. Mike Chew has gone for 8 points at Christmas, 7 new players, 6 wins for safety, ? It should be at least 11. 5 new defenders, 4 cup tiers, 3 new wingers, 2 new fullbacks, and a new CEO.
I'll
read the last bit out again, and a new CEO.
I think the idea I've come up with about the fans cupping their ears to the players if we score a goal is a pretty good idea, Ange.
Well, so do I, but it's so good that not a person's commented on it yet.
No, Ben Davies says, do you want someone like Norman Swerthwaite or the Coates family running your football club? Don't moan having millionaire owners. And he says it'll be a boring draw on Boxing Day. Sheffield Wednesday are boring, but they're solid, he says. Scott Price says, Stoke City 2, Sheffield Wednesday 1. You're more optimistic than your brother, Scott. Give fans some festive cheer. And Fulham 1, Stoke City 1.
Is there anybody out there that thinks we'll lose both matches and that's the end of our season?
No,
Cambridge Stokey, thank you for your Christmas wishes. And
I've read that.
I just think that everybody else that we've missed out, because you've missed some out on there, have been very kind to thank us and wish us well for Christmas.
You want to see the comments on Facebook, Ange, what people have put, not this Facebook, but on in response to a post I put on yesterday about the show being on tonight. Some beautiful comments
that's
on there
nice.
About the show, which I shall show Ange later. Has George Harding says, has the booking fees been scrapped for away games yet?
The booking fees were scrapped, but the collection fees haven't been scrapped for home games.
Right.
The booking fees haven't been scrapped, sorry, because they say it's in line with everything else that goes on.
Well, you can ask him about that tomorrow as well.
No, I can't ask him about that. Okay. It's a council matter.
Oh, okay. All right, then. Judith Barnett's gone for 2-1 Stoke, 2-1 Stoke.
Right.
Paul Frith has gone for one win and a draw.
I'd take that now, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would, yeah. Jenica Varney's gone 1-0 to Stoke and 0-1. And I presume that's an away win as well. George Harding says these booking fees will drive fans away, not bring them in. Well, I think Ange probably would agree with that, but I don't want to put words into her mouth. Gary Pardy says, Stoke 2, Sheffield 1, Stoke 1, Fulham 2. Where on earth is that optimism coming from, Gary? Just please explain. Where is it coming from? Especially after you watched, I caught up with it on Saturday morning, but you watched that on Friday. Ben Cliff says, we will lose both matches, but it's not the end of our season. The chance should be what you've done to our club.
Mm.
Dave Wayne says Stoke 1, Sheffield Wednesday 1, Fulham 3, Stoke 2. One thing's for sure, we'll still be in the bottom three if that's the case, won't we, Ange? Merry Christmas to you, Ange and Russ, says George Harding. Thanks for all the laughs and depressing weekends that brighten us up. Lee Stokey says, great show, guys. Merry Christmas to you and your families from Lee and Vicky. Thank you, Lee. You're very kind. I'll do Super 6 now, actually, because I got 2 points this weekend, Ange. I don't know what you got.
I have no idea.
But I got two, which makes it unbelievable to say that Craig Harrell topped the board this week with 17 points.
Wow.
And I got two. He was so far, he was 5 points, this very rarely happens, Ange. He was 5 points clear of anyone else. So he had a superb week. Got it all right. I think Burnley got winning at Bournemouth right, 1-0 for one. Mike Shaw and Ian Poole were in second place this week on 12 points, and the rest were tens, but there's so many of them I can't read them out in the time we've got available. Overall, we've still got Vicky Wood in front on 252. Pete Hollitter is there as well on 246, so it's very close. Paul Stokes in third on 242. Mark Green still hanging in there on 241 in fourth. Stevie Breeze,
the cheat,
is on 11th place, Ange. For some reason, he's ahead of you on the same score. I don't know whether it's because he's a cheat. I don't know whether it's alphabetical or whether he's got more correct scores than you.
No,
but
he won't have more correct than me.
Anyway, Stevie Breeze is ahead of you, according to Super 6. I'll have to have a word with you, mate. Jeff Stelling.
I will. Jeff.
And, so you're in 12th on 221. I'm in 35th on 195. And like Stoke, I need to have a good Christmas, Ange.
Mm.
And I'm not just talking about me due on Friday.
Unanimous decision, me. 12th man goes missing, 11 transfers needed, 10 butterfingers, 9 leaky team sheets, 8 minutes entertainment, 7 different formations, 6 years since Pulis, bet 3-6-5, 4 acres of space, 3 round knockout, 2 places from bottom, and a single shot on target wins our 12 miserable days of Christmas.
What prize is Gaz getting for that?
He gets to come and compare the show one day.
Oh, does he? Okay. I could do with a weekend off. Dan Mullock says, Merry Christmas, Angie and Russ. Always enjoy listening. No matter how bad things are Stoke related, we're all in it together. Up the Potters.
We are, Dan.
We are. And let's hope we do get a result on Boxing Day. My goodness, they do owe us a performance, don't they? We will lose the next 4 games if Ince plays in every game, says Stuart Fulton. And Melanie Stanway's gone for 0-0 on Boxing Day and then 4-0 to Fulham. Are you going down to Fulham?
Yeah,
of
course.
Are you?
I am a supporter.
Well, yeah, okay. George Harding says, what effect will this have on the community trust as they aren't separate, so will they not lay staff off?
The community trust is self-funding, so I don't know what effect it'll have on the community trust. But one thing is for certain, if we do go down, and we all hope we don't, I am sure there will be people that will lose their positions.
Ted says the dustman haven't even emptied his bin this week.
Wow.
Gary says his optimism comes from a couple of glasses of wine. I'd have another couple if I was you, Gary. Scott Price says, Merry Christmas to you both. Great show again. George Harding says the ladies will also not make the WSL as the club won't pay for it while being in League One. Well, you know the ladies game very well, George, I have to say. Alan Swindle says, great show, guys. Have a good Christmas and New Year. Molly Bridgewater says, Vicky Ward is my mum and I've never been prouder. She's a legend. Rob Mills says, Merry Christmas, Angie and Russ. Thank you. Thank you for all your comments coming in here. Ben Cliff says, Merry Christmas, Russ and Angie. Thanks for doing the show tonight and slightly brightening up our Sundays. Only slightly. Despite our beloved club being in dire straits. I'm working Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, so Christmas will be pants. But despite my lack of confidence in our club, I'm still confident we'll be in the Championship next season.
Enjoy up working, Ben. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and enjoy Kidsgrove games as well, Ben, because I know you're a massive fan of them and you love it. Steve Roberts says, have an happy Christmas. Let's win before the new year. Happy New Year, both. Nostar, great show as always. Thank you. And Ben Davis's final question, are we down now in your opinion, Ange and Russ?
I don't think we're down.
No, we're not down. George Harding says, what numbers do you think we all sell like season, Ange?
Season tickets, 10,000.
Yeah, amazing, isn't it? Ted says, see you at Fulham, Ange. Ange will bring the sweater. So you'll have to arrange to meet somewhere by the bank. Yeah, Stevie Breeze says, one win and a loss over Christmas, but a great January window, safe by March. Have a great Christmas and cheers for a great show. See you in the new year. Gary Pardy says, have a good Christmas up the mighty Potters. George Harding says, it's like Panto. Will we be in League One next year? Oh, no, we won't. It's hope more than anything else. Tom Hall says, have a great Christmas, guys. Ange, I hope you haven't got too angry tonight. No, I don't think she has, actually. She's calmed down.
We're going to... we just thought as it was... how can I put it? As it was coming up to... Are we not going to play the Jack Butland?
You can do... Well, it's 10 minutes, isn't it?
Well, what we were going to do was... Well, hang on. What we were going to do was we were just going to leave you with a little bit of a Christmassy feel... And so Jack Butland was at the Donna Louise along with some other players. And before we play that, we'd just like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And Ben Cliff is the nicest man I know on Twitter and on Facebook and on everything else because he tells the truth.
He also needs to go to Specsavers.
Listen, folks, thanks ever so much. Have a happy new year and a merry Christmas.
I've had to cut out the first 30 seconds of this interview because Jack Butland was messing with batteries in something. So I don't know what he was messing with batteries in.
It was in his jumper.
Was it?
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
So, Jack, always a very nice time of year, but especially nice when you come to places like the Don Louise Trust and make so many people's lives happy.
Yeah, and a wonderful time of year, but a difficult time of year for a lot of families. Being a father now myself, it's extremely more, it's much more eye-opening and hits home a lot harder. You know, I've bumped into kids today like Cav and Jacob who have been here. I've seen them for years now, and actually it's great to see them in probably the best spirits I've seen them for as long as I've known them. So, which is great to see. It's an extremely humbling time, but to come here and just to see the smile, just us being here puts on a few kids' faces is priceless, and something that we're very privileged to be able to do.
And you talk about being privileged, and obviously you're a new dad yourself now.
Yep.
But it means so much not to the children, but also to the parents of these children, doesn't it?
It does. I think that's where Don Louise has been excelled, is just not in its support for the children that need it, but for the families. We've seen all aspects of what they do here. You know, a bit of a whistle stop tour earlier on. The groups that they put on for dads, you know, that may be finding it extremely hard to deal with their child's scenario. Maybe their child has even passed, unfortunately, but for the services that they put on for beyond that, whether it be rooms that they can come in and stay if they're finding it hard to go home, or for the dads to come in and just catch up, chat to each other about their own experiences or just to have a few drinks, you know, and just kind of enjoy themselves. And it kind of really gives a whole range of support for, you know, families that have been through or are dealing with extremely tough times.
And of course there's the new extension, which yep. is just on that. Have you had a look around that?
I don't think we've gone to the new extension yet. There's parts that I've not seen before today. You know, it's a sign of how much work has been done and how incredible this place has been, that, you know, they've got the opportunity to grow and look after more kids and families, and I think that's an incredible thing. I know the club's done so much work with them over the years, and it's great for us to be a part of that and see that growth as well.
I mean, the community trust and the football club do a huge amount of work, yeah. particularly around this time, but throughout yeah. the year.
Yeah.
And as you've said yourself, you've done a lot with the Donald Lewis Trust, and this is a very special place.
Yeah.
I think at this time of year, we have to remember that you as players go out yeah. through the whole of North Staffordshire
yeah.
and brighten yeah. up a few minds.
It's something that I hope the club gets credit for, but I don't think the club and the community trust can ever really get as much credit as you know, for the work that they do, really. It's I've been at clubs on loan and permanent clubs where work's done, but I think that this club really excels itself in its bond with the community, how it helps and gets us involved, because, you know, over the years we've had, you know, community champions every year of players that we're constantly out in the community and giving back for the, you know, a small price to pay on our part, but a massive impact that it can have. And I think we're very lucky to do that. The club, as players, we love playing football, but there's something a little bit more special about being able to help people that I never really envisaged growing up, you know, would be something that, you know, I would do as much. And I get a great amount of pride and pleasure from doing it and just having a chat with the kids and their families. It's a heartwarming experience, but the club deserves a lot of credit. I'm very grateful to be a part of that and be able to be here and help out.
Onto the football, you can not yeah. only make children in disadvantaged situations and people in hospital happy at Christmas time, but you can help make their support at Christmas too. So we're all looking forward to you excelling in that
sense. Happy supporters often equals happy fans and happy players likewise. So, no, I think the manager's come in. I know as a club we are not where we want to be. I think since he's come in, I think there's been an upturn in performances, goals scored. Where we would be if the table began would be a lot higher than where we sit. So I think there's a lot to take from it. It's a long season. There's still a lot of games to go. But certainly I think there's a lot of promising things going on. I understand there's frustrations there is from all parts of where we are. None of us want to be in the scenario that we're in. But the Christmas period is an extremely challenging one, but one that can change your fortunes pretty quickly. Games coming thick and fast. We've got a great squad. We've got some really good depth as well. So it's a time where that's going to be called upon. And it's an exciting time. I'm looking forward to it. And great opportunities to put some more points on the board and build on, you know, the upturning results that we have had in recent weeks.
Being a goalkeeper, it may not affect you as much as some of the other players, but when a new manager comes in, you obviously have to get used to new mm-hmm. new ways of doing things. Has yeah. it affected you much with a new manager?
I think it always does. I think any time you have a change of staff in general, you know, you have to wise up to that. You have to listen, regardless of whether it directly involves me or not. I've always considered myself a leader, but I take on messages that are maybe directed at other people. Ways that I can help that and pass that on or reinforce that if I need to. So I think there's a massive role to play from everyone when a new manager comes in, whether you've found yourself on the outskirts before and now you're a part of it, or you know, roles reversed. You know, there's a you've all got to wise up when there's change, and you've got to adapt and learn from it. It's another opportunity to learn and from staff and to grow as a player. So it can be a challenging time, but at the same time, it's a time that and it comes in a period where games come thick and fast that we can really make some drastic improvements on where we're at and the position that we're in.
And from your perspective, of course, Andy Quay has yep. been with us for a long time and has now left. Did you know the new goalkeeping coach before?
No, I hadn't. You know, from Andy's perspective, he was someone that I consider a great friend, that I've known for my whole time here at the club. Has helped me both on and off the field. Someone that I respect greatly and owe a hell of a lot to. We've been through a hell of a lot, and we've had some of our most amazing times and most challenging times as well. And I owe a lot to him. He knows that, and I've told him that. I think the club respects and understands that as well. So I love nothing more than for Andy to go on and be successful now in his next role, wherever that may be. And I'm sure he's going to do a brilliant job.
And from your perspective, new dad now, how's it going to affect your Christmas? Because you don't see much of the family over Christmas.
No, it's a difficult time, but one that is part of my life. I've spent more Christmases now playing football than I have without, so I'm fully accustomed to it. We have quite a favourable schedule in that regard, that we're home on Boxing Day, which is always a great thing. We've had some great results on Boxing Day at home, so I'm looking forward to that. It's an exciting time. Obviously, Dad for the first time. Although the little man's not going to know what's going on for us, it's quite a big deal. So I'm looking forward to having both my and Annabelle's family up for probably until the new year. Actually, they're going to hang around for a while, which is going to be really nice. You know, so I don't often get to see or spend too much time with my family. So it's a time of year that I really enjoy, regardless of how much football kind of takes over. I'm really looking forward to it.
And finally from me, what are your wishes for Christmas and the new year for yourself and Stoke fans?
Lots of wins. If we can keep some more clean sheets in that as well, that would be good. But I think we all know what we need and what we want, and that's to win games. And first of all, get ourselves above the relegation zone. And
that's Jack. I'll just say before we go, I'll just back up what Angie said. I'd just like to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everyone, who's the thousands of you who listen to this programme every week and make the job for me and Angie a lot easier by commenting during the course of the programme, because we'd struggle to find things to talk about without you. So I'd just like to say Happy Christmas to every Stoke fan out there, everyone at Stoke City Women as well, and all the players that we have involvement with as well at the moment. And we'll see you, goodness knows when, Ange, because I'm not sure are we back? Is it two weeks we're off now?
We're back in January. I don't think we're going to do one for the Cup game.
No.
So it'll be, I think the Millwall game will be the first time.
That'll be interesting, won't it?
But have a lovely Christmas and New Year wherever you are in the world, and good night. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.